Frankly, I'm not too wild about this next event, but it has become a tradition here at Adams. The belching contest. Our first of two finalists, Frederick W. Polowatsky. Ogre, you asshole. Ogre. And from the Lambda Moo team, Dudley Dawson.
Ogre.
You're listening to Nowhere on Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
So you get fired again, huh?
Oh, yeah.
They always freak out when you leave the scene of an accident, you know?
Yeah, well, I lost my job, too.
Man, you are one pathetic loser. No offense.
No, none taken. What's with the briefcase?
It's a love memento. The most beautiful woman alive. I drove her to the airport. Sparks flew. Emotions ran high. She actually talked to me, man.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tractor beam. Sucked me right in. Anyway. She left this in the terminal and flew to Aspen and out of my life.
What's in it?
Man, I would have to be a lowlife to go rooting around in somebody else's private property.
Is it locked?
Yeah, really well. Bar over here, and the hors d'oeuvres over there, and we'll pass the umaki and the cheese puffs.
Oh, good.
That sounds expensive.
Arnold, this party's important. If we don't impress the Trilands, we'll never get in.
Oh, maybe we can have Robster Cross.
The fuck are Robster Cross?
Hey, have any of you guys got dates besides Gilbert?
I do. Yeah, but that's with a guy.
What about you, Booger?
I've been out combing the high schools all day.
People like me. I like you a lot.
I want to ask you a question. Straight out, flat out, I want you to give me the honest answer. What do you think the chances are of a guy like you and a girl like me? Hit me with it. Just give it to me straight. I came a long way just to see you married. Just least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
Yeah! Woohoo!
everyone. Welcome to the show. I am the J-Strum. It is time for Dora Mulberry. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Film, television, pop culture is what we talk about almost every Friday. We do when we can. You know, we have lives. You know, we got to do other stuff. But I don't do the show alone. I also do it with PCZ Steven. Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Hey, how you doing?
And Steven, you have a birthday, and we'll get to that in a second. But we also have Laura.
Hey.
The NIM Fitness Guru. Hey, Laura. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you, Laura, for all the help you're giving me.
No problem.
Getting fit. And also we have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
Hey.
Hey, Bill. How's it going, buddy?
Excellent. It's I wouldn't have it any better than it is.
It's good to see you, sir. And you know what's funny? It's how my mind works when the show... I don't know, Steven, you were stretching or something. There was two pops at the beginning of the show. Like a tick, a tick.
I heard them too.
What was it? It was somebody. It was like when you kind of mess with your mute or whatever.
I did this.
It's not doing it now. Maybe it snagged under your shirt or something. But I was thinking, how am I going to edit that out while it's happening? How am I going to edit this now? But don't worry about that, Steven. I'll handle
it. I don't think it was me.
Oh, okay. It was, who should we blame it on?
It wasn't
you, you can blame me.
Bill?
Bill? I'm always on mute at the beginning, so it couldn't have been me.
Uh-huh. No, the only reason I say it was you, Steven, is because you were stretching while it was happening. You were like going like that. Mm. The wire was pulling, and you got your little thing. I don't know. But I can't blame it on you. It's your birthday.
Hey,
it was my fault. I did it. Okay, let's say that. Steven?
Who's the wire?
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday
yes, sir.
To you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to
Simon
you.
To
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Good times.
Happy birthday!
No!
Not when the Whoopi sings.
You knew it was coming. As soon as Simon's done, Whoopi chimes in, and then they do it together.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Yeah! Steven, do you mind telling everyone how old you are?
I am 43 years old.
How many years young are you, Steven?
I am 43 today.
Oh.
Whoa, I thought I was like 41.
43 years young, buddy. All right. Well, happy birthday to you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I'm glad that we're all together.
And I share this day with one of our listeners.
Oh, really? Who would that be?
Chris Reynolds.
Chris Reynolds.
So happy birthday to him as well.
Hey. Facebook friend. Hey. You know, I'm sorry we didn't do a show last Friday. Just things happened. Bill, I didn't want to do the show without you. Once you told me you couldn't do the show, I was like, I'm out.
Well, that's, I'm honored.
Because I wanted to talk Falling Skies with you. I wanted to talk Alphas with you. And I was like, I can't do that if Bill's gone, so I'll just wait. You know? Now we have the finale of Falling Skies to talk about later. And fantastic episodes of Rocco's Dinner Party also.
He hasn't given up on that one.
Yes, fantastic.
Am I the only person watching this show? Come on.
I kind of like it.
Honestly, I fast forward through it.
I'm so entertained by how douchey it is.
I can only take a certain level of douchiness.
I want to see
it like exceeds plus 10 douchiness. So.
I want to see Rocco do what... Joe Bastianich does on MasterChef. Or he just throws
my
a
favorite
plate.
Is when Rocco's surprised that one of the chef testants can actually cook a really good dish.
He's like, wow, I'm shocked by this. I thought it was going to be terrible. It's like when you mix all these ingredients together, just the mouthfeel. I don't expect it to be
good. I just watched like a cooking marathon yesterday when I got to the hotel.
Was Rocco on there?
I finished off with like Extreme Chef. Have you watched any of that?
Extreme!
Yeah, no, I've seen the commercials for it, but
Mountain
I haven't watched
Dew?
It yet. I know what it is, where they make you do extreme things like cook a hamburger on an engine block or something.
Well, they did. They gave these two cooks $100 and said, "Okay, you got to go to this 99-cent grocery store you know.
Well, that's extreme!
To the extreme!
And then they had to bring it all back, climb 22 stories to cook on top of the building.
What? Why?
It's just ridiculous. Stupid.
You know what? If it's Extreme Chef, it should be like, you need to cook a live alligator in a lava flow.
And it's like, okay, I'm game. No. You got to go catch the alligator, too.
Ah! I'd watch that.
With this fork. You know,
with Tony the Exterminator.
You've got one match to cook the meal with. Here.
It blows out. I'm screwed.
It's got to be some natural disaster. You've got to go fishing in a tsunami.
Okay, I give up. We'll watch the show this week, Steven. We got to cover this ship.
You do Rocco Despirito. Yeah. Come on.
I'm game for anything.
Only mildly extreme.
Yeah, I want some extreme cooking action.
Sometimes it's more extreme than others. I mean, climbing 22 flights of stairs.
That's not extreme. That's just tiring.
Bill, what was that celebrity chef? No, it was celebrity cooking that's on VH1. And I was like, hey, maybe we'll cover that. It looks horrible. Until I saw that Mike Boogie is on it.
Oh, Famous Food.
Famous Food. When I saw Mike Boogie from Big Brother, I was like, I'm out. I can't take that douche.
So, he is more douchey than Rocco.
Yeah, he's pretty douchey. I'll take Rocco any day. Now, guys, we have a voicemail from Sean. Let's check it out. You know, I think what happens when we take a couple of weeks off here and there, people don't know when we're back. But Sean, he's always there to send a voicemail. Let's check it out.
Okay.
Hey, Nim, it's Sean. Had to call in and wish PCZ Steven a happy birthday. Oh. Steven, I hope you're having a great day. Not sure if you're going to be on the show, but if you're not, don't party too hard. And, yeah, just enjoy the day. Last episode was really good. I like the talk about Will Patton because he's very, very unappreciated. One of his best roles was probably as the bad guy in 24 a couple seasons ago when he was the evil Alan Wilson. Actually, I think that was the first Nim episode I've ever heard. I was looking around at podcasts to hear people discuss 24, and I came across yours, and it was around the end of that season, and I started listening to it, and you guys were having so much fun making fun of 24 that I just been listening to you guys ever since. So we have Will Patton and Alan Wilson to thank for that. Like I said, last week's episode was good. I really liked the ending part where Emma was on the show. I just have to say, Jason, she's adorable. It was really cool to hear. And you guys had the same laugh, which was pretty cool to hear. But, yeah, it was
really
fun time to put a smile on my face.
That's funny.
So anyway, guys, have a great show today. I'll talk to you guys later. Love you. Bye.
Love you too, baby.
Thank you too, Sean. Love you too. And I love your feedback. It's
thanks
fantastic.
For the birthday greeting.
His dulcet tones.
And I loved, if you guys remember that season of 24, you know, Tony Almeida, he's like, I'm going to tell you who's behind all of this. And, you know, you're waiting and Tony, Jack Bauer leans in and he's like, Alan Wilson. And it's like, who the hell is Alan Wilson? It's like,
what a threatening name.
Here's a name out of the hat.
Yeah, it's like,
You're not thinking straight.
I missed
it.
Tony
should have been like Jafar Mazarik. You know, something strong sounding, not insane. Alan Wilson.
I'm Alan Wilson! I will get you all!
Not the Alan Wilson.
Yeah, as soon as he said Alan Wilson, I thought Robert Denby from Mystery Science
Theater. He's so elusive!
Alan Wilson is so elusive. All right, guys.
Ben Murphy shows up.
All of a sudden, Tony Almeida adjusts his watch. He goes, disappears. Holy shit! He disappeared!
It's a hologram!
Take this sparklets jug of explosives in this semi. Why don't you? All right, guys, let's check out entertainment. Let's do it! All right, entertainment.
Consider Scientology.
Bill, did you get to see Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No.
Rise.
I have been so busy this week going out of town, and then this is my final week of two classes, and I've been neck deep in schoolwork.
It was. It's funny when I think about Rise of the Planet of the Apes. When I first heard of it, I was like, "Oh, come on!" You know, the Tim Burton one. Jesus. And then
I think Tim Burton kind of soured me on the entire idea of another one.
Right. I mean, don't put Mark Wahlberg in it, first of all. But then when I saw the trailer, I'm like, interesting. It's like CGI apes and stuff. But, you know, the first instinct is to knock CGI. Oh, there's too much CGI. But instead it was like, you know, it doesn't look bad, really.
Well, it's photorealistic. It's no worse than like Tron Legacies was.
At first, when I made fun of it, it was because they do the fade to black trailer and the kind of sound.
Those apes got gas.
Yeah. So it did that. But then, you know, every time I saw a movie, I saw the Planet of the Apes trailer and I was like, you know, this is looking pretty good. You know, I'm interested. And then when it came out, you know, when we couldn't do a show, I was like, let's go see it. And we all went to go see it. And what did you guys think of it?
It was definitely better than I expected it to be. My expectations were pretty low. But
really?
I thought it could definitely be cheesy, but it was much better than I thought it would be.
It was very entertaining. I thought it was really good.
Really above what I thought it probably could have turned out to be. You
it's
know?
Funny how my dad explained it to me. He goes, I saw his... no, it's okay.
His explanations are always fantastic.
Well, he just said it's a great Prison Break movie, and in a way it is. That's what it is. You know,
really?
If you think about it.
Yeah, okay.
But
Escape from Ape Island.
But the performance of Andy Serkis is incredible, who plays Caesar. He's just great. I was like, I want to see Caesar in other movies now. He's great. Great monkey and stuff.
I can't wait to see it just to see all the little Easter eggs they put in it, because I love the Apes movies. I always keep the Planet of the Apes set. Not the creepy ape head one, but
just with hair on it.
I never owned that in my life. It's so creepy.
It is creepy. But Bill, when the movie was over, we were sitting while the credits were on and talking about the Easter eggs. Did you catch that? And it was really cool. The Easter egg type things in there, the hint of the other movies, is really awesome when you think about it. And I was sitting there thinking about it later on, just all the different subtle things and the clues. And it's really cool.
The setup one that you missed, or that I said, you know, it was like the rocket ship being lost.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, they did mention
that. Hey!
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Hell, dude.
That's just an Easter egg.
But all that kind of stuff is cool. Build, forget.
The George Taylor ship being lost? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying
no. That's not what he's talking about.
No.
I'm too late now.
He was talking about something else.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't.
But it's cool. Bill, go see it. I want to see
go
what
see
you
it,
think.
I'm sorry, guys. I really should have went to see it this week.
You know what? There's some people that I respect that were like... where they didn't say good things about it, and I was surprised about it. But I guess if you don't buy into it, the whole concept to begin with, you're not going to enjoy the movie, right?
Right.
The fact that if an ape can get intelligent or whatever, mm-hmm. you don't believe in that or whatever, you're just not going to buy into it. You know what
I'm
saying?
Like just off the bat, you know, the whole Caesar thing, that was Roddy McDowell in Escape of the Planet of the Apes, I think. That was the character.
Right. Zira and Cornelius had a son named Caesar, and he was raised with a circus, right? And then in the next movie, is it
Conquest,
Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, they're all like slaves and servants and stuff, and he can speak, and he like tries to help the other apes see his way, and then they rebel. That's kind of what the movie is in a way. It's kind of retelling
that story.
Right, but
in a different way.
Completely different way. Yeah. But it's really
cool.
Well,
in each like trailer, they gave a little bit more of the story, because the initial trailer I had no interest, because it was just James Franco, hey, I created a serum. Or, you know, and then the monkeys get smart and they roll the fog and then they all break out. And I was just like, oh, great.
The thing that I like, that you may get it from the trailer or not, is the emotional relationship between the characters, which I think works really well. That's
what I'm most looking forward
to. That's the thing I was surprised by. You know,
is the James Franco and his father, played by John Lithgow,
who's always fantastic. Yeah. Well, except in the Raising Kane, Brian De Palma. It's not his fault. Maybe it is.
Anytime you're in a Brian De Palma film, you can just blame Brian De Palma.
Now, Bill, you did see another film. You did see Cowboys and Aliens, right?
I did see that.
Am I the only one who saw that besides you guys?
I didn't see it.
I'll tell you what I did like about it. I liked the characters. I liked Harrison Ford. I liked James Bond.
Sam Rockwell.
James Bond.
Sam Rockwell.
Even though Sam Rockwell was pretty much one note, like, oh, they took my wife. I need my wife. There was a couple really good lines in there that he had.
There needed to be more Sam Rockwell. Maybe that's... Yeah. In the deleted scenes or something.
There needs to be more Sam Rockwell and less Daniel Craig.
I like Daniel Craig. He was good in it. The action was fine and all that. But when it comes down to it, Bill, when we were talking about the aliens are kind of lame.
Yeah.
And even like if you guys listened to the Super 8 show we did where Bill was talking about the deal with aliens with more than two arms.
Oh, my God.
When they reveal that there's two extra arms on it, I was like, oh, God, Bill's going to have a field with this.
Two extra arms. It's such a lazy screenwriting ploy to say, okay, let's give them two extra arms, but encase them in their chest
right.
So that when they open their chest and use the arms, their innards are exposed.
The arms were menacing in some way where they had a scene where they were reaching out real creepily, you know?
Yeah, Tyrannosaurus Rex arms.
Yeah. That's what I thought of. He has T-Rex arms.
Little baby arms.
And I thought of the dinosaur in Meet the Robinsons where he's like...
Okay, so yeah.
I can't reach up my arms anymore. I always think of that.
How many times I see that movie, that part makes me laugh out loud.
Because, okay, Cloverfield, he has the tiny arms. Too, yeah. And I'm like, he's got two gigantic arms, are really long. He's got these tiny little hands. What are these for? What are they for? You know,
they're thumbs.
It's for making sandwiches or something. He butts up against the table and makes sandwiches. But also, the super 8 creature, multiple arms. What else has multiple arms? They all do, don't they? And did the same guy design the Cowboys and Aliens aliens?
No, I didn't see that he did, but someone who was channeling the spirit of Neville Page.
I did like the slow like arm grab where it was the kid is hiding in rocks and so his chest opens up and you see the little hands come out like to grab him. It's like, ah!
They start tickling.
He's like, oh, cut it out.
That's what the big arms hold you still while the little ones tickle.
That's it.
Really gross, iridescent tickle arms.
Tickle arms! Y'all want to see that?
That drove me crazy because if you have tickle arms that are encased in your chest and you use them to try to grab at this kid and your head is above the hole so you can't see what the hell you're grabbing.
It's like, I'm hugging
the
crevice.
Why would you do that?
I'm hugging the crevice and I'm like, God, I can feel around for him in there somewhere. I want to see, go back to the original Alien when H.R. Giger is designing it and a producer leaned over him going, can you give him like two little T-Rex arms? It's on the front there.
No, but I can give him a tiny little mouth inside.
It's like
I think that space jockey is too simple. Let's add little arms.
What do the arms serve as? It's just cool. Little
you
tiny
know,
hands.
So he can eat and fly the ship.
Or to tickle, you know?
You know, it's like when you go to Sonic, they attach a you know, the thing to your window. It's kind of like that. You can just hold your plate to report.
The multiple arm things.
You can hold the tray while they go.
We don't need to see that anymore.
After the monkeys in Avatar with multiple arms off the same limb, I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm so glad in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Caesar didn't have four arms. Why did he have four arms? It makes no sense. It's the same guy.
It's evolution, man.
Now, there are two movies coming out next week, guys. Are you guys excited all about Conan?
No.
Conan.
The only thing I have to say to Conan is, what the hell did Rose McGowan do to herself?
Yeah, I don't understand.
So much weird plastic surgery. Holy shit, honey. There's a point where the plastic surgery is too much.
She looks like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, she thinned her nose down and got a pointy chin.
Right. What was wrong with her before?
And her eyes are all way pulled back and her lips are blown up.
Is she still with Robert Rodriguez?
I don't know. I'm sure he went, man, you're ugly.
What is that? She comes home and she's like, look, I got some work there. He's like, what the hell happened? I left my wife for you.
Look like one of the zombies from my film.
I think of Army of Darkness. You found me beautiful once. Oh. Lady, you got real ugly. That's exactly what happened to her. It's scary.
She was so cute in Scream.
And now, Fright Night, Bill, the remake of Fright Night.
You're talking about her getting her things down at night.
You know what?
That is Fright Night.
Fright Night, I'm kind of excited about. Just because mainly because David Tennant is playing the Roddy McDowell role.
Right.
And he's just, David Tennant eats up the screen. You know, he was a great Doctor Who, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. And the kid that plays the main character, what the frick is his name?
Anton Yelchin.
Yeah, he's good. In fact, I just saw him in The Beaver.
Right.
He was pretty good in that.
And McLovin is in it. And Colin Farrell. But, you know, the one thing I was trying to think, I haven't seen the original Fright Night in a long time, but it is genuinely funny, right?
Oh, yeah, it's very funny.
And is this, are they doing this just as
hard? Roddy McDowell's completely incompetent,
right.
And these idiots think that he's some sort of friggin' soothsayer because of the character he plays on TV. And I mean, come on, it's a comedy if you think the Amanda Beard from, is that her name, from Married with Children?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks like she's 40 in Fright Night and she's supposed to be a teenager. That's comedy.
What I always take from that movie is, you gotta have faith. Remember that? That won't work.
So, and the Jay Giles Band theme song. Fright Night!
Like, yes.
We need a theme song. What's the movie called? Fright Night. There it is!
Hell
Fright
yes.
Night!
That's what my favorite thing is, movie themes where they... Okay, just use the title. Like another one is the Dream Warriors by Dawkins. We're the Dream Warriors. Wow, how'd you get there, man? Through your songwriting. How about
we were inspired?
We are the Dream Warriors. Yeah.
Well, we changed the name of the movie because of the song.
One of the best theme songs ever is Green Slime. The best if you've ever seen the Green Slime. Check that out sometime.
I bought that not long ago from Warner Archive.
You bought the Green Slime?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's gorgeous.
Green Slime.
I mean, they went back and remastered it and everything.
Awesome title, dude.
It is a freaking acid trip of a film.
I'm going to wait and see reviews of, like, Conan to see if it's at least fun or whatever.
I've already heard it's atrocious.
It does look bad. As, you know, when Rose McGowan shows up as like a sorceress or whatever, it's like, ugh. At least that Rachel,
you know what
what's
looks
her face
like?
Is in
it looks like the commercials for the Scorpion King.
Yeah.
It looks like dated CGI and just, I think the guy that plays Conan was better off as Khal Drogo on Game of Thrones. So.
Yeah, Jason Momoa?
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Fright Night, I kind of want to see. I kind of do, but I'll make up my mind when it comes out. We'll see.
I'll probably wait or possibly
see it some other way.
Yeah.
All right. Let's check out what's on our TiVo. What do you say? Huh?
Okay, yeah.
It's done.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Now, Cake Boss has come and gone. I believe the season is over for Cake Boss. Hell, maybe back on Monday. I don't know.
They killed everyone.
It wasn't on this week. But, you know.
Somebody went psycho at Lackawanna.
As I was talking about last week.
They built it on an Indian burial ground.
As I was talking about last week, you know, I've been eating more healthy, Bill. No more Pop-Tarts for breakfast. No more Pop-Tarts for breakfast.
Breakfast of champions.
But,
diabetic cake, ones.
Cake Boss had a Pop-Tart cake he was making, and I was just like,
Pop-Tart cake.
It looks so gross.
I wanted a Pop-Tart while I was watching it. It's like, be brave, Jason. Oh, and also there's another part where Joey's he's a fireman or a volunteer fireman, right? And plus he works at the bakery. So he's really
– bakery?
He's not sure what he wants to do. Does he want to work full-time as a fireman, which he's proud to do? Or does he want to go to Lackawanna full-time and quit his fireman job?
You know what?
Be a fireman.
What? I don't care.
Well, Bill, he pulls Grace aside and he's like, I want to talk to you, Grace, about this. She turns it into a conversation about Herman Bunny and how he's training her.
I don't like how he's training
me. So just so that he's genuinely like wants to talk to her about this and she turns it into her. I just thought that was funny. But first, let's hear about a Pop-Tart cake.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm Allison.
Hi, buddy. Nice to meet you. Hey, how's everything going?
Good.
Good. So what can I do for you guys?
We just moved to Hoboken.
Oh, welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you. We've been having a great time so far, but we really don't know anyone. And the kids just moved to a new school, it's a new block, a new house, and Stella has a twin brother named Gibson who's having a hard time adjusting.
Oh, I hear that. Well,
it's because his name's Gibson. Yeah.
So what's going on with your brother?
Well, he has
Asperger's
because he misses his old friends.
Well, you know, moving is always hard.
So that's what we decided to have a block party to meet the neighbors and for the neighbors to meet us.
Suck
we
up
thought
to the
it would be great to have a cake for him to surprise him and make him feel better.
So maybe we could, you know, maybe make a replica of the new house. Maybe a sign, welcome to the neighborhood.
That would be great.
And his most favorite food in the world is Pop-Tarts. And here's some pictures. We were thinking maybe
no one asked you.
A cake made out of this house. But maybe like it could be made out of Pop-Tarts.
I just picture
this door
little
could be cinnamon, these chocolate windows, the sidewalk, vanilla icing maybe.
You know, that with a house and the Pop-Tarts, that would make him feel great.
All right, I will make him an awesome cake.
Thank you so much.
And it will be delicious and beautiful, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank
it was a
you.
Pleasure. Thank you so much. All right, listen to me. We got to make a cake
this
for
kid
a little
has some
boy.
Good
they
want
me to do a replica of the house, like one, two, three houses. But I mean, they're little kids, so I figured,
I saw Dina
why not
in the
make it more like Fantasyland?
I wonder
their
what his envision
like,
is.
Like, you know, with candy and chocolates, Pop-Tarts. Things like that.
Jesus,
you know,
what is with the music?
It, so it looks like a house, okay? This toaster has got to be
like
in the center one.
Cake.
Then we could pop some Pop-Tarts up. Whatever you use a toaster and a cake.
Pop some Pop-Tarts up?
No. Instead of smoke coming out of the chimney, it'll be Pop-Tarts coming out of the chimney.
Basically.
The chimney.
We're making a cake for this kid Gibson.
Chimney
he
cricket.
Really misses his old stomping grounds. We've got this building stacked and dirty ice. Now we just got to put Pop-Tarts all around. For an added effect,
shitload of Pop-Tarts.
And I'm putting some Pop-Tarts on it. And I built it into the roof, and these suckers are going to fly.
Later on, he kills somebody with
these
that toast.
These aren't Pop-Tarts. They're the knockoff Pop-Tarts.
Oh, I hate those. The store version Pop-Tarts.
These Pop-Tarts are from all these.
What do you want to get a puff for?
I want him to shoot out more.
What the hell?
Yeah, I bet Costello over there.
Kind of reminds me of Joe. How many bakers does it take apart a toaster?
We have to talk about this fire department thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I know it's been bothering you.
It's a hard decision. I could either leave the fire department and give up something I love, or leave the bakery and give up something that I'm so vested in. And there's a chance, you know, if we regionalize and I get promoted, you know, how's that going to feel? I don't want to make this decision.
Well, my advice to you, okay, is if you can't make a choice, then don't make it yet.
Not going to make a choice that I'm going to regret right now.
And I know that you're loyal to this place just like I'm loyal to this place. I know it's different with you, but I feel very unappreciated lately. You know, my brother is really big on barking out orders. I'm, like, really getting tired of it. Joey's torn about what he's going to do.
You can tell he's already stuck.
I'm fed up with what's going on.
He's like, oh, Jesus.
If I'm gone, and Joe's gone,
what are you
going to
do, Grace?
I still, you know, I studied hard, you know, to get promoted. I put my time in. 14 years. Am I going to throw it away?
What?
Can't just throw 14 years away.
It's not that hard a decision. One of them you get paid, the other one you don't. Hey, I mean, how hard is that?
Where's Grace going to go? What has she done in her life other than work in the bakery?
Her family.
I'm going to go work at a streetwalker.
Rival bakery. Go work at a Dunkin' Donuts, Grace. Bill, I want to talk about the dumbest week of Big Brother ever. Like, the best thing is, okay, I did what you were talking about last show, was where I just listened to the narration of what's been happening in the Big Brother house.
Okay.
Basically, and I'll play this, but basically we know that she, what's her name? Kalia, she's the head of household.
Yes.
And Danielle is her partner, and they decide they're going to put up, they want Rachel out of the house no matter what, right? Last week they got Brandon. This week they went and got Rachel. So they put up Rachel and Jeff. Jeff wins the power veto. And he's like, you know, I think Kalia, she tried to be friends with him. I won't put up Jordan. Don't worry. Right? So, yes. And then, you know, Julie Chenbot, she says that whoever gets evicted will have a chance to get back in the house. So then Luan, he's like, wait a second. You get voted out? You get some kind of power when you come back.
He like gets, I have no idea where he came up with
he
that.
He gets that in his head, so he's like, put me up. I don't care if I get voted out. I'll come back with the power. And they're like, okay. So they put him up. It's like,
come
what
back
are you?
With the power.
It's like he's going to have shoot lightning from his
mind
eyes.
Reading power.
But let's go ahead and check this out. It's pretty funny and stupid.
He's going to be even more gay.
Now, Bill, I got to ask you this. Is Kalia the dumbest player ever?
I honestly think she is, and that's why Danielle has latched onto her, because she's clueless.
Also, she is pretty dumb, but Luan's probably dumber.
Yeah, Luan wins for the dumbest Big Brother move ever.
I love where he's like,
volunteer to put yourself up.
Yeah, it's stupid. Let's check this out.
Previously on Big Brother,
we
revealed a twist that shocked the house.
The next house guest to be evicted will have a chance to get back in the game.
Head of household Kalia set her sights on getting Rachel evicted.
So I immediately put up Rachel and Jeff. They can tell Jeff he's not, obviously not my target.
But she needed Jeff to be a pawn.
I need someone in the veto that can win it and make sure she goes home.
And he didn't take the news well.
I'll tell you one thing, I'm winning that veto and I'm taking myself off. And if I get kicked out of this house, I'm 100% coming back to get you.
But Kalia stuck to her guns.
Jeff, Rachel, I have nominated the two of you for eviction.
At the veto competition, Jeff went on a roll.
Jeff, you have won the power of veto.
With Jeff back in the game, Kalia tried to mend fences.
I'm never going to put her up.
I'll fix your fence.
And I will not go against that.
And after Rachel warned of vengeance,
me on your side could be great.
Huck Finn and I will pay it.
If I come back in this house, it's going to be guns blazing.
Kalia pitched the idea of keeping Rachel safe.
If there are giant bullseyes on our backs and there's a way to get them off of us, why not try and take them?
But Danielle wasn't convinced.
I do not want to work with her. Think about it in terms of not having them coming after us.
However, when Luan secretly volunteered to step up to the plate...
I don't know, I think you have a better chance if you put me up.
Whoa.
I'm okay with being evicted because I am thinking the twist, I might come back with some special powers.
Kalia and Danielle saw an interesting opportunity.
He literally just told us to let him go. Did he realize that?
I have some Wolverine clothes.
I have a deal with Rachel and vote to keep her in
adamantium skeleton.
Which guarantees me a week's safety.
Luan's wish was granted.
I have decided to nominate Luan, babe. It's your turn.
Luan, in an unprecedented move, asked to be put up as a replacement nominee so that he could be evicted. His logic? That the twist would return him to the game with a special power. But what he doesn't know is that there is no special power. I know.
Luan is on the block. And I love it!
The audience is laughing at him.
If I do get voted out of the house, I have a 99% chance of coming back into the game with superpowers. Take note, America. LaJuan made the boldest move that
I can fly around the earth backwards and turn spit time back and not get kicked out.
Own people. Either she's very intelligent and I can't figure out what's going on, or she's so stupid and put the numbers even more in our favor. My vote goes for stupid.
She really is stupid. I'll come back with superpowers.
Where did he get that?
I like that he's 99%
sure. 99%
sure.
And I wasn't counting on that 1%.
And Brendan, he gets voted back in. Brendan, and they have to battle it out in a competition where they shoot balls into things. And he loses.
You would think that LaJuan would nail that.
He loses pretty quickly, where he just sucks at it. And
he does.
When Julie Chen goes, "Well, LaJuan, you've lost. Say goodbye to your housemates. It's time for you to leave." He's just kind of like, "Where the hell is my superpowers? Where's my superpowers? What the hell?"
You got the superpower to go home.
Hey, you're like Nightcrawler. You're just going to go poof, and he's gone.
You've been super stupid.
It's like you've been super idiotic the entire time.
You know what really, really sucks? What? Is after that happened, they did the HOH competition, and guess who won?
Rachel?
Danielle.
Oh, really? Danielle won.
So it went Danielle, Kalia, Danielle. So they're in control again. So anybody, you know, they're probably just going to put up Rachel and Brendan again.
So they don't want to be their friends or pretend they're friends anymore?
No, they're not. No, at one point, I think it was last night, I was watching the feeds, and Brendan and Rachel were like, "Let's go up and talk to Danielle." So they went up and they were standing at the door for like 5 minutes and they wouldn't open it. I think that pretty much says who's going up.
Wow.
But it's really boring this year. I was hoping that it would be all new people, no stupid twists, no superpowers.
Oh man.
At least there was no superpowers.
Yeah. So guys, let's talk about Rocco's dinner party. Now, we all know that Rocco is a huge douche, right? Although I am going to try some recipes from his book. But, Bill, there's a guy who's on his show that's a bigger douche than Rocco. Unbelievable.
How is awesome.
Let's go ahead and check this out. Because this guy, huge douche. Just listen to, like, it introduces the first two people. The guy, he's, like, still studying. The girl, she's, like, a caterer or something, whatever. She's learning. This guy comes in, and he thinks he is the shit. He doesn't even want to talk to them. Because he's just there. He's just there to win. Let's check it out.
He's the cat's
meow.
My
name is Bill Haley. I'm a sous chef at the Plaza Food Hall by Todd English. I'm a triple threat. Good looks, charisma, and talent.
This is the real deal, man.
My name is Sharon Robustelli, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I spent almost 20 years in marketing and public relations. And then after I had my daughter about 2.5 years ago, I decided to start my own catering business.
Hi.
I'm Sharon.
Bill Haley, nice to meet you.
My name is Frank Reiner Ott Jr., and I'm a private chef to the rich and famous. I'm actually an executive private chef.
Oh, actually. Welcome to the kitchen, man.
I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win. They will recognize that. I came to win. As soon as I pull out my knives and calmly throw down an incredible meal.
What's up, chefs?
Hey,
how's it going, man?
Hey, how are you?
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are yourself?
What do you do for a living?
I'm a caterer.
What about you, Frank?
I'm executive private chef to the rich.
Executive private chef. It's important that you're perceived as an executive, isn't it?
You know why? Because I'm not just some punk that cooks hot dogs and hamburgers for the family.
What's wrong with that? And are you an executive as well?
No, I'm actually a sous chef. I'm still in the process of learning from all the greats around me.
Tomorrow night, I've got 6 friends coming over for dinner. There are 3 of you now, but only 2 of you will have an opportunity to cook for my guests. And the one who creates the most memorable experience will win $20,000. Anybody excited about that?
Yes.
Very excited.
Definitely.
You have to cook for me. You've got some pretty high standards. You've all brought the ingredients to make your signature dish?
Everything.
The 2 chefs whose signature dishes impress me the most will move forward, but for 1 chef, the dinner party will end early.
My demeanor in the kitchen stems from a lot of years of growing up in really disciplined kitchens. I've worked for all these three-star Michelin-trained European chefs that demanded military-like conditions in the kitchen. My grandfather actually said to me when I was young, son, you show me a good loser and I'll show you an a-hole.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Where's all the fat on your lap?
What?
Just a touch.
Sounds like his grandpa was a pervert.
Fat cap and all the nice little fat that's on the, you know, it's kind of a lean meat.
Rocco, I'm kind of riding the a little bit, honestly. It's like, really, dude? I mean, I'm cool with that, but I'm just not getting it.
My signature dish is going to be a halibut that's roasted, wrapped with pancetta and sage. It's going to be served over creamy sauerkraut and a thyme-scented roasted Granny Smith apple.
Oh, so you cover your fish with prosciutto?
That sounds today, terrible.
It's like a salt and boca. Come on, Paisan.
Prosciutto,
you know
di
that.
Parma?
Yeah.
Did you make your own sauerkraut?
No, no one makes their own sauerkraut.
Nobody does?
Sauerkraut the Americans use is actually not finished. It's actually just started. It's like the beginning process. I learned this in Germany.
Okay.
It's called Rum Sauerkraut.
Wow. This guy's a douche, isn't he?
Oh,
come on. He's a douche. Wow. Do you like that meal he said? I like when he has the Granny Smith apple in there. What?
Sounded gross.
Well,
creamy sauerkraut?
Here's the best part. It's when Rocco tastes all their meals. Let's check it out.
Bring your plates to the table.
This is my favorite music.
If I get eliminated after this, I'll be shocked. It's great food. It looks good. Tastes good. I mean, I doubt anybody else is going to come with anything close.
The truth is, Rocco would be out of his freaking mind if he didn't like this dish. That's what the truth is.
Chefs, thank you so much. Everything I need to know about you is right here on these plates. Or maybe not here on these plates. From your seasoning to your presentation to the taste.
Wait,
everything I need to know about your skills and your point of view as a chef. Frank, what's the name of your dish?
We have a sage and prosciutto wrapped halibut filet served over creamy sauerkraut, thyme-scented roasted Granny Smith apple, pearl potatoes, and a beautiful juniper berry oil.
You still think it turned out great?
Absolutely perfect.
You had more than enough time to cook the potatoes all the way through, right?
Chef, I had tasted two potatoes. I thought they were right on.
Those fully cooked potatoes?
I think they're seconds away from being fully cooked. I would be okay with that.
Stubborn, huh?
Yes, extremely.
You're a stubborn guy. I like a lot about your plate.
Thank you, Chef.
But I was really hoping you would say, you know what? These are a little undercooked. I should have cooked them more. Because that's the kind of attitude I want from someone hosting a dinner party. Sharon?
Yes, sir?
Can you tell me the name of your dish and what's in it?
Yes, it's espresso-crusted New York strip steak with the cauliflower puree.
Sharon's plate, it looked awful. I was embarrassed for her.
Have you ever had burned espresso? It's like, acrid.
Carpet on the tongue.
Yeah. This doesn't taste that way for some reason. I almost can't believe it. Had it at least have been 400 degrees on the surface of that pan, or 300, and somehow it's working. Bill!
Sir.
Tell me what you made. What's in it?
I brought you a pan-seared Australian rack of lamb on top of my version of a succotash.
Where's all the fat on this lamb?
Impulse mistake. I just got to cleaning and thinking and over-planning. Next thing I knew, I'd a little too trimmed on everything, you know?
Fat is good.
I know.
I like fat.
I know.
Lamb fat. Delicious.
That's one of my favorites. I know. I don't know why.
Chefs, thank you very much. I have made my choice. But there is one of you who just fell short of my expectations.
Oh,
Bill?
No.
This party will continue without you.
Party!
What the... You know, seriously, like, are you for real that the girl next to me cooked better than me? Rocco, you're going to regret that decision. You're going to look back and say you wish you had me. I'm going to say no. I'm not going to come back.
Is it intimidating at all, like, battling up against, like, a bigger menu with more beefy things on it?
I am a fan of simplicity.
And you won with something very simple, or at least simple, compared to what I kind of do on a daily routine.
I get it. You're a chef. You've been doing it a long time. It's like you don't have to be such a, you know... douche.
She's got it. He's a douche. And unfortunately, that guy wins at the end. It's just because the girl's timing was so bad. She was late on everything. But hey, Rocco's dinner party, huh? Now let's talk about Master Chef, huh? You guys are happy with what's going on so far on the show? I was bummed on who was eliminated this week.
I was too.
Yeah, but he kind of deserved it.
He messed up bad.
He's kind of been floating along the entire time.
He made a really good shepherd's pie, which is on this clip.
Wait,
right,
you know,
here.
What annoyed me is that Ramsay didn't correct him. That's not a shepherd's pie. Shepherd's pie is lamb. That's a cottage pie. A cottage pie is beef, veal.
I honestly expected him to do that, but he didn't. I thought it was strange.
Yeah.
Because he said that on every – whenever he goes to a place, a restaurant on Kitchen Nightmares, he corrects them, you know?
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
So I thought it was weird he didn't do Ben Starr. But also, I love how confident Christian is, isn't he?
Oh, God.
Just listening to on this clip.
He's such an asshole, though.
Gordon Ramsay's like, who do you think's going to win this? And he's like, I am. He's like, I'm there till the end. Yeah. But also, the guy made his meatballs three ways thing. And I love how Joe kind of treated his meal. Let's check it out.
Top five, I'm feeling awesome. Five steps away from winning it. I'm going to take everybody down.
The end is in sight. It's within my reach. I'm here to get the title of Master Chef.
Let's go, quick. Wow. Okay.
We've got Jennifer, Ben, myself, Adrian, and Christian.
Girl, she's
so
just bitchy through the
I've
whole
got
thing.
Stiff competition for this one. But I'm ready to fight. I'm starving to be on top of this.
Oh, are
so,
you?
Who's been dying for another mystery box challenge?
Ugh. Ground meat, you son of a bitch.
Ground pork. Ground veal. Ground beef.
I want a veal burger.
You have the most amazing celery and carrots. Fresh corn. Bell peppers. Fresh mushrooms. Rice and potatoes.
And one
ground
box
meat.
Of
there's no way I
I'm gonna make a pop sack, kids.
And then I see the Worcestershire. And I realize Chef Ramsay has just given me all the ingredients for a shepherd's pie.
That's five.
Maybe not all
of the most talented cooks we've ever had in this competition. This is where I want you now to really come out your safety zone.
I am just friggin' stumped. What the hell am I gonna do with ground meat? But that's the challenge. The make simpler it is, the harder it is.
Brush my teeth
we want
with them.
Magic!
On the very, very first day of this competition, Chef Ramsay asked if I could cook British food. And I told him, I'll make you shepherd's pie.
Your name?
And let you find out. Ground veal has delicate texture, kind of like lamb. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to bump it up with just a little bit of beef stock and the Worcester to try to get a little bit more of that authentic British flavor into there. And I'm hoping that he's really going to love it today.
Ben, you're doing shepherd's pie as well.
It's kind of obvious, though, right?
It's pretty crazy.
Susie is also making shepherd's pie.
Oh, yeah, what a coincidence,
pie.
Susie.
But that's fine. You know, it's a
she's
competition,
gone next.
And
she
I'm
has
a good sport.
Be.
And if I can give Susie a little bit of a hint, then more power to her.
Right, Christian, competition's getting down to you plus four. Did you think you were going to get this far?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
I'm going to make it to the end, Chef. I'm going to win this.
What are you doing?
Making chili.
What are you serving it with?
It's chili.
Christian's making a chili, and chili to make chili in an hour, I think, is really stupid, honestly. At
it's
least have
chili
some chili.
Doesn't sound
chopped
like you're pitching
dog
for the top spot.
We'll see what comes up with.
Fritos.
Frankenbeans.
What do you got for us today?
I got three different meatballs for you.
Three.
Wow. I love these all-steel MasterChef pans. They're non-stick because they use Thermalon.
Yeah, it's freaking out. You're looking over. Thank you for three different types of meatballs, three different ways with three different sauces.
Product placement.
Actually, a nightmare.
Every episode, Graham has said, what do you think of those MasterChef pans right there? The thermals on there is fantastic. They're like, yeah, it's great.
The thermal on is really great.
I think it's hilarious how he does that. Like, every episode, he finds a way to work in the pan plug.
He gets $100 for every time he makes
it. He gets a kickback.
Competition, you want to make a shepherd's pie?
I'm doing gourmet. I'm making it rich. Beautiful, delicious dark sauce on the inside. Perfectly moist but still dry, crisp, beautiful mashed potato top.
Shepherd's pie. I've been eating it for 45 years.
Shepherd's pie. I know. It's a dangerous call, Chef.
I was a little surprised to see Jennifer up there. I feel like chili's a little bit more complex than making a meatloaf.
Oh,
all right, the next dish we want to try also utilized all three of the proteins.
Likes chili.
It was a very unique plating, and also this person stayed true to their homie roots. That person is Adrian.
What homie roots in my food?
Adrian has three different types of meatballs, three different
it's
ways.
It's dangerous when they get out of hand, though.
The plating is beautiful. This dish is screaming for one thing, a giant glass of water.
It's so salty.
This is like we were all head fake. This is like a beautiful concept, nice idea, beautiful plating, like a Moreau painting. You buy it, you bring it home. It's a fake.
Adrian, salty balls, obviously didn't go well with the judges. They're supposed to be picking the three best dishes.
Third like, final dish we're dying to taste, because it looks incredible. Ben Starr.
I feel a little chipped right now. I find it really unfair that I'm not in the top three because I know that my dish tastes really good.
Shut up. It drove me nuts. The next thing where they had to make copy Gordon Ramsay's meal that she'd had the best one. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And then poor Ben Starr had to go.
She's Ben almost Starr. As arrogant as Christian.
Yeah, she just doesn't say it out loud. She thinks that in her head. I'm better than all
or
of them.
She says it in the little confessional thing. Yeah.
Are you sure this thing is soundproof? Because I'm going to talk some shit right now.
Why are they still doing the top
Ben wasn't
three.
Making shepherd's pie.
Well, there's cottage contestants.
Oh, yeah. They should do top two or something.
Well, it seems kind of silly. Why don't you just taste all of them if there's only five people?
I know. They just want to hurt Christian's feelings. I'm tasting that chili.
They say something about my teeth.
He's subconscious about it.
Put that chili on a hot dog. Maybe we'd have picked you.
It's like, whatever you do, don't smile, Christian. All right, guys. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about Hell's Kitchen, Falling Skies, Alphas, and all that other stuff. All right. Let's do it. Yeah, okay.
And I love it.
Slush Poppy is pumping out the flavor, pumping out the blood. Rainbows of flavor for a mouthful of fun. Pumping out the thirst, cooling off in the sun. Pumping out the action when you're pumping on the rocks. Ice cold Slush Poppy, drinking it up. Slush Poppy is fun in a cup. Slush Poppy!
It's circus fun right in your bowl, and you're going to want to come flying. For horses and hoops, balls and bears, elephants and lions.
What?
Horses, hoops, balls, bears, elephants and lions. New circus fun cereal. Crunchy red hoops, speckled balls, and many marshmallow animals. Circus fun, a spectacular part of this complete breakfast.
Circus, hoops,
balls, bears, and elephants.
And lions.
Princess of Flowers, I hush it up.
Swiftwind, you're crystal clear and more beautiful than ever.
Crystal Swiftwind, Starburst She-Ra, and Catradol each sold separately.
Now, your beautiful wings and magic horn. I want Crystal Swiftwing. My dazzling Starburst cape will stop you. Outshined again. I think Catra has seen the light.
Starburst She-Ra and Crystal Swiftwind each sold separately. New from the Princess of Power collection. Catra also sold separately.
I just love playing with my toy train.
Surprise!
Oh, the McDonald's Chicken McNugget Happy Meal, guys!
All aboard! With regular fries!
And regular soft drinks!
You guys are always on the right track.
But if you put in your Happy Pal, Marvel, Rock!
When you buy McDonald's Happy Meal, you get one of five need-to-fill Happy Pails.
What's in yours?
McDonald's Happy Pails, each with shovel or rake. You can collect all five.
Hello, caller.
Color, soft, snuggly friends that change color in warm and cool water, each sold separately. You can cuddle up to Rainbow Bear, Hello Kitty, Tuxedo Sam, and My Melody.
Hello Color changes color right before your eyes.
Hello Color, Rainbow Bear, Tuxedo Sam, Hello Kitty, and My Melody, each sold separately. New from Tonka.
Hi, I'm Tom Bray, and I'll be right back with One to Grow On.
They're here. From across all 50 states, the 1986 miniature license plates, free inside Honeycomb, Florida, Michigan, and this, the See America plate, which makes you a winner of a dynamite family vacation to fun places from Walt Disney World to Hawaii. Details on specially marked boxes of Honeycomb cereal. Odds of winning 1 in 620,000. for a free entry. Write Honeycomb, P.O. Box 5470, Ridgely, Maryland, 21660. If you get yours today, who knows where it might take you tomorrow.
I can't talk now, Craig. I'm practicing for my church choir.
That's a pretty neat costume, Connie.
I know, it sure beats that little cap you wear.
It's a yarmulke.
In my religion, we get to do all sorts of neat things. I bet you don't.
Well, I don't have a robot.
That's because my religion is better than yours.
Oh, whoa, wait a minute. What I just heard wasn't music to my ears. Now, who's to say what religion is better? Everyone is entitled to their own individual belief and faith. That's what the Constitution says. So be proud of who you are and what your religion is. Don't let anyone tell you differently. Anyone who does is singing off-key.
You like your religion? I like mine. But you can't say yours is better just because you have a robe.
I guess I got carried away.
That's okay. Say, we sing at my temple, too.
Want to practice together?
Sure.
Bye!
And that's one to grow on.
Hey, guys, what's in all the buckets?
Cocoa.
All right.
Lots of deep chocolatey cocoa.
Did you see me in it?
Sure, a whole box full of Cocoa Krispies.
Tramp and the cocoa comes bursting through. Crustle and the cocoa.
That's all you gotta do?
There's no stopping that cocoa from popping.
Snap, crackle, pop, Cocoa Krispies.
Kellogg's Cocoa Krispies, a chocolatey part of this complete breakfast.
And that's really deep chocolatey.
With all those buckets, you can't miss.
Free ride, pull. Okay, the McDonald's Happy Meal guys.
Roger, hamburger,
fries,
and soft drink, all regular size.
How do you like the ride so far?
Ride what ride? Whoa!
Ride.
One for the king's castle, one for the king's shells, one for his water.
You get one of five different Happy Pails when you buy McDonald's Happy Meal.
And one for the king.
You can collect all five Happy Pails at McDonald's.
I'm moving my feet, for it tastes so neat. A new Kellogg's Pop-Tart taste.
Pop, 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 my, they can't stop.
A peanut butter and jelly hits the spot. You know it tastes so good.
Yeah, I'm moving my feet to the Pop-Tart beat. I'm moving real fast, cause they sure won't last.
Peanut butter, jelly inside, pastry on the outside.
Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, I'm moving my feet to a peanut butter jelly beat.
Cause it tastes so neat.
Sam's Crispy. I love that peanutty smell. What you eating, Lou?
Whatchamacallit?
What do you call it?
Whatchamacallit?
I mean, what's its name?
I told you the name.
It's
Dip 2.
You said whatchamacallit.
Right.
Whatchamacallit from Hershey. The thick, crunchy bar of peanutty-tasting crisp drenched in chocolate. Whatchamacallit. You can ask for it by name.
Give me that.
Give me what?
Oh. Today we're going to demonstrate the proper technique for eating jello pudding.
Now?
No, not now. First you have to sit up straight in the chair.
Like this?
Yes. Now we take the napkin, we unfold it, put it in the lap so it doesn't fall out of our mouth, okay?
Okay.
All right, fine. Then we hold the spoon real tight.
Kids love Jell-O brand pudding, and because you make it with fresh milk, you know it's wholesome.
There you have it, so let's all dig in.
We already dug in.
Mountain and nothing to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and smooth, refreshing mountain dew. Yeah, give me a river, give me a dew. Give me my good friends, give me a dew. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew.
At this family reunion, we asked folks to come up with a more nutritious lunch that's higher in protein than a Skippy peanut butter lunch. Well, what'd we get?
I know, chicken salad.
Uh-uh. Skippy has more protein.
Let's try this, Annette. Ham on rye.
Or meatloaf.
Sorry. Ounce for ounce, both Skippy Creamy and Super Chunk have more protein and no cholesterol.
And it tastes great, Mrs. Funicello.
So serve Skippy more often. For good nutrition, it's hard to beat Skippy.
You better have me some fun. 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 I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun.
Bill, this party will continue without you.
Oh.
Good night, guys.
So dramatic. I like how he just pauses before he finishes his sentence.
Wow. Finish your sentence. Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's do Hell's Kitchen.
Bill.
Yes.
What's wrong with Rocco? He's trying to get your attention. There's a guy on the show, Bill, that we've been talking about, Jonathan, the hayseed, right?
Yeah. Oh.
And this week on the show, I finally realized who he looks like. Have you been watching Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah, I've been watching it.
So the hayseed, I was like, John Marston, Red Dead Redemption.
He does. It's shocking how much he does look like him.
He's John Marston. Working
too
in Hell's
bad he
Kitchen.
Sounds nothing like him or acts
yeah,
nothing like him.
He doesn't
him.
Sound anything like him, but he just looks just like him. Wow. It's all...
He is from the deepest, darkest area of the boonies ever.
And I love it.
I don't know how he got on that show.
Neither do I. They had to have done it for a comedic
Everything
effect.
Everything he makes, he serves
effect.
Chicken and fruit.
Well, yeah, with his pineapples. Yeah. And Gordon Ramsay does this thing where he's like... choose a leader to each group because let's face it, they all suck. Yes. I mean, the blue team hasn't gotten a single dinner service finished yet, have they?
No.
I don't think they have. No. And so they choose the leader, and then he has the leader choose who's has the least leadership qualities, and then he puts them in charge. Right? So,
genius.
They need to prepare meals for a secret celebrity chef guest or whatever that's going to come in. And, that one guy with tattoos and stuff, what's his name? The guy who says rock and
Tommy.
Roll.
Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy. He's tells him to make this weird pizza, and he's like, no, man, I'm going to put a southern flair on it. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it like this. Yeah, I want to put pineapples on it. Whatever he makes, I don't know what it is, but this is pretty funny when Jonathan doesn't even want to take the pizza up. And it's kind of embarrassing in front of this.
Gross. It was like swimming in something.
There's like liquid in it. It's like when you don't cook a frozen pizza all the way that's been in your freezer for maybe a year. And you pull it out and it's water collected.
They must have used a topping that they should have sautéed first. Like, if I'm making pizza at home, I always sauté onions and mushrooms first.
He used that mushroom oil that they were talking about. What is it?
Oh, white truffle oil.
He must have used way too much because it was like soup or something.
Yeah, because that's what, you know, it's like everybody says, you got to barely use any of that because it's so overpowering. But you're right, it was swimming. It
was gross. All right, let's check this out.
With Tommy, the engine's running, but there's no one behind the wheel. You want to do the pizza?
I would love to do the pizza, I would like to do a barbecue pork pizza with a little southern flair.
Depends with time. I mean, I want to do like a caprino pizza. I want to do like a toasted pistachio, like truffle oil and honey.
Tommy has got the worst idea. So how exactly is this going to work? All right, what do you want to use on the pizza as far as ingredients? What do you want to use for the toppings?
Let me just get this grill hot.
I already told John the four ingredients for the flatbread pizza, but I don't think he's ever made one before. I think he just didn't want to admit it. I'm baffled.
Man, I need to know what's going on. I'm standing there trying to talk to him. Time's getting low, and he's basically ignoring me. Tommy, what's going on?
I have invited to judge this challenge. Ladies and gentlemen. Wolfgang Puck.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. Like, big stars came in my eyes. I couldn't believe we had Wolfgang Puck.
Good morning.
I'm like,
I want
speechless
it so bad for
right
Jonathan
now
to go.
Okay,
who?
It's the Battle of the Pizzas. Let's go.
Pizza. He sounds like a Nazi.
I don't even want to take that pizza up. Please present your dish. Okay, let's go.
I'm not taking it up.
Get up there.
Take it up.
Come on, man. Just pick it up, bro.
Come on, guys. For God's sake. Let's go, please, guys.
Come on, take Joseph.
I'm not taking it up.
Come on.
I'm not taking it up.
Pick it up, bro.
For God's sake.
Bro.
Come on. It looks like man.
Dear, oh dear. Right. Carrie, please present your pizza to Chef. Thank you.
I did a shrimp basil pesto with blistered heirloom tomatoes.
Did you taste it?
Is it?
It looks raw and it tastes raw.
Undercooked.
It's embarrassing.
Take it back.
I love how he wads up the dough and hands it to
her. I shouldn't. It's embarrassing. I know.
You come to Spago, I show you how to make a pizza, okay?
Unbelievable.
Her dish was raw. Blue team, we're taking this home, man. We got this.
I should definitely have worn that.
Jonathan, please present. What is that?
I have a flatbread pizza.
What is that? What do you mean, where did you see a pizza like this?
I haven't, Chef, honestly.
I mean, if you go to Italy, they arrest you for that. You know that.
It smells like honey.
Honey and white truffle oil.
Everything we don't need on the pizza, you put on.
I'm standing here looking like an ass because I had no say-so in the pizza. Basically, I just rolled the dough out.
I thought it was a great pizza had it been cooked properly. Jonathan is an idiot.
I'm not even going to ask Chef to taste it. Take that away. Looks like a ass again.
Dear, oh dear. That's disgusting. Jonathan and Carrie, honestly? Jonathan, what have you got to say for yourself?
Jonathan gets again by a teammate and made to look like an ass. Honestly, I could flip this whole dining room upside down, man.
Okay.
Oh. No point?
No.
Wow. Congratulations. Red team wins 2-1.
Congratulations.
I don't hide nothing. I don't candy coat. Tommy was a leader today. That's putting it mildly.
Ladies, you and your team are in for a special treat.
Yes.
Thank you.
A treat.
A true Hollywood experience.
Yay.
You'll be cruising down like hot chicks down Sunset Strip.
Yay.
Like,
and then I've arranged for a unique, very personal performance at the world famous Laugh Factory. Yeah, Laugh Factory.
Hey.
Hey,
yeah, what's going on? Did a bird hit you on the way in? What happened? Gordon Ramsay would have been awesome during my labor because it was 22 hours. I know. He would have gotten that baby out. Get out, get out, get out.
You're not funny.
Right out. And then he would have been like, it's raw.
What kind of music is that?
So if the men would have won, would it have been a male comedian, I wonder? It would have been the same chick.
Would have been equally awful.
And I don't even know if it's the same episode.
From Rocco's Dinner Party or
when Jonathan gets kicked out of the kitchen, he's like, nah, I'm done. He's like, Jonathan, get back out. Jonathan. He goes chases after him. Oh, hell, Chef, man, I just want to get back in there and prove myself or something.
It sounds like Hank Hill.
But Elise is still in there. Ugh.
I don't know how she's still there.
I would take Elise more than I could take that Carrie. Because Carrie's awful on every level.
It's just whenever Elise starts talking.
Oh, she never shuts up.
And she doesn't – and Carrie doesn't do anything.
I know.
Like, every time she's made to do something, she fails at it and then blames someone else.
And then they show how Elise is real lazy whenever they do the
– Yeah.
I've noticed through the history of Hell's Kitchen, there's always somebody who doesn't want to do it. They never get in trouble for it. So why even bother doing the punishment?
Didn't Jonathan not do it,
yeah,
too?
He got a stiff neck.
He goes, I got a creak in my neck. I got to sit out here and smoke cigarettes. And so they just show him out on the patio smoking cigarettes.
Well, if you notice when he got kicked off at the end, he reached out and shook his hand with the arm that was supposedly her, and Chef shook it real hard. You know, he didn't wince.
But I love when Ramsay pulled him into the pantry or whatever. He's like, "What's wrong with you?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm about 50%. You know, my neck hurts." And he goes, "I had a guy who had a broken wrist, and he won the thing." And I was like, "He's talking about Dave the Robot." I miss Dave the Robot. But one thing I noticed about Elise is when one point they were yelling at her and she's just in her bra on the bed, she has a tattoo of her name on her breast. It says
her
Elise.
Own name?
Yeah, her own name.
It says Elise on her breast.
Well, okay. It's, you know, they're hers, so.
Well, she won't be the name badge of the nudist colony.
No, okay.
Oh, okay.
She's serious.
Yeah, candy. What you're not seeing is above it that says, hello, my name is.
Oh. But I love what a train wreck Hell's Kitchen is. Good stuff. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the finale of Falling Skies. You know, we have actually three episodes really to catch up on. The how much did you guys, this is my favorite thing about it all, is when Pope came up with the son of Noah Wiley's character, Tom, he was like, why don't we use their bullets against them? And he's like, out of the mouths of babes. And he comes up with his own ammo using mech metal. And I thought that was pretty badass. And I was talking to Steven, like, do you remember way back when Falling Skies first started, I joked about how they need Michael Ironside with his special kind of ammo? Because on V, he's like, here's a new special kind of ammo, coat right through their hides. And that's basically what we got here, is Pope made some new ammo.
Special ammo.
It was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
I was just wondering, you know, if it was such a special metal, like, how did they melt it down? Like, but superheated or something? I don't know.
It's easy to melt. Yeah, I wondered that too. But yeah, it sure is cool, though. What did you guys think about
it? Yeah, it is. It is.
Nina Sharp.
Yep. Crazy Nina Sharp.
She has everything she needs because she turns in anybody who shows up, I guess, which is pretty creepy. Oh, and, you know, the reveal of the new tall, slender aliens. Yeah. How cool was that? They're like, whoa, what are those? We've never seen those.
Very grayish alien-like.
Yeah, and we find out that the skitters have actually been harnessed.
Yep.
They were something else, and they turned into skitters.
Were they humans that turned into skitters?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Rick was displaying very skitterish properties when he attacked Will Patton. Or no, it wasn't Will Patton. It was the older guy.
Yeah, the old man. Yeah.
So he was climbing on the ceiling and stuff like the old lady in Exorcist 3.
And what was cool about that is when Rick did all that and he ran away, he was pissing me off. I was like, shoot him in the back. Go ahead.
I would have killed him. I was tired of his shit.
He was about to give away
alien bullshit.
And he was going to give away that tube that they needed. Yep. And when he goes to that girl, you can see green is, like, all the way around her face. Like, she's turning into something. She's
turning into a skitter.
And all she did was take all the information, then leave him there. And he was screwed.
Well, I was, like, wondering what the play was on that. Like, maybe he was faking it. Like, they turned on me. They didn't want me. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of you.
Once he's been de-harnessed, they can't re-put a new one on
him. They don't need him, yeah.
I thought that, but they reattached the harness to him before.
Well, he did that himself, remember? He put it on himself.
Yeah.
But
it was that harness. Maybe it's like kind of like symbiotic with you, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Who knows?
But also, you know, the whole thing of the weird... the group of harness kids, they were all separated. Maybe, like, he's just spoiled and they don't want him. Something about him is...
You're a brat.
You're a spoiled brat.
My dad died. Oh, boo-hoo.
I was like, oh, now you miss your dad? Now? Yeah. He's like, well, they pretty much said they don't want me, so I got to go back to either side, right?
Nowhere else to go.
It's like, well, they're... It doesn't seem like if they don't want you, they're not going to bother you. Just go find a house and live in it. Okay?
If they didn't want him, why wouldn't they just killed him?
I guess they just didn't care. I don't know.
Oh. Well, they could probably use him. He's not a threat to them. You know, it's like, we will take you back if you give us some more information.
Yeah.
Well, the skitters love information.
And what did you think about the when they are mounting the attack? And they find out that, I guess, Captain Dale Dye is dead, his character.
Oh, really? I didn't catch that.
Isn't his name Weaver? And they said Weaver's dead.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all like, oh, crap. And that's pretty much sucks. And then
I thought they just called him by his real name in the show.
No, Dye is the Asian guy. That's Dye. But also, the other units don't show up, so they're all alone. Are they the last people there functioning? I don't know. It seems kind of sucky. But, of course, Will Patton, he wants to attack them anyway. Did you guys, before the finale, the episode where they have to, Tom has to convince him to not do the attack, and they lock Tom up, and then he escapes and all that. Was that just a delay to
that
the finale?
Yeah, that was buffering.
I was like, come on, guys. Get to the attack part.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he's addicted to pills. Yeah, he's not taking pills anymore. Yeah, yeah.
And then the new guy, military guy, who's there all of a sudden next to Will Patton, He was on the show Mercy. We used to watch Bill. Did you recognize him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, hey, it's that guy.
You Taylor Schilling, though.
He just showed up in the final episode.
I know that guy.
I know that dude. So when they mount the attack, it fails miserably. But when they're attacking the school, which I thought was really cool, how his son and the old man, they come up with a way to scramble them with that weird radio signal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was pretty cool. And then they use their bullets and it was cool when they take out the first mech, but then when more of them show up, they're screwed.
I remember going, oh shit.
They had 30 bullets apiece, but they pretty much used the whole clips in the first mech.
I was wondering why they were all firing because, you know, Pope showed that it only takes one to go through the.
Yeah. I was like, do you have one dude like some. Didn't somebody have a 50 caliber sniper rifle? Just get up on the roof or something. Shoot them.
Blowing the mech brains out.
Shoot them down the block.
Shoot them
between the eyes. Shoot them way down the way, like right center mass, you know. Like,
they should have made mech grenades.
Yeah.
You know, so that they could just toss the, like a, you know, or even set up IEDs with mech metal. That way, whenever they cross the line, just boom.
That would have been sweet.
Well, they need to be smarter about this stuff.
Pope made four of those, the four IEDs. Well, with the short fuses, he said, remember?
Well, to attack
the
structure.
For the base.
We're talking about like around
the school.
That
might be all the extra they had, though.
Yeah, it might have been all they had, but it would have been sweet if they booby-trapped stuff for them. Maybe they'll do that next season.
They got to collect more mechs.
But I love when Tom goes to the structure and Will Patton's like passed out. And did everyone die but him? Is what it seems like to me. Unless they're gonna.
There was a guy with Pope that was still alive.
Right. It was Di, wasn't it? Or was it a different guy?
But I thought
it was the black guy.
The guy from Mercy.
Yeah.
And
but I thought only four people went in because when they sent Tom's son back to warn them, it looked like, I mean, what happened to that whole group of guys that was going in?
They went before them, and I think
there was a whole busload.
I think, okay, first of all, Rick, I think, got them all killed by telling them what they were doing.
Yes.
Would you take Rick back in? Like, okay, Rick, I feel bad for you. It's like, dude, you just screwed everybody.
You just screwed us and brought the mechs here, and you killed everyone else. So,
you tape
congratulations, douchebag.
You tape a grenade in the back of his head and kick him.
Yeah.
And run away, and he's like, "Ah!" That would have been sweet. But the
Pope used him as target practice.
I love when Pope gives Tom the RPG with the mech metal, and he's like, Will Patton's like, What are you doing? What are you thinking?" He's like, "Never been this close before. Maybe I should just take a shot." I thought that was pretty sweet, wasn't it?
Where he took that was a great moment.
He took that lucky shot, hits a ship, and the ship crashes inside it, and you hear all these consecutive explosions.
I liked how they looked at each other like, holy shit. And they said, I think we got their attention.
Then they're like, you think this truck runs? Maybe we got to get out of here. And then this scene happens, guys. Let's check this out.
We get to the staging area. If any of the team survive, maybe they will be there. Oh, what the hell?
No, wait. It's Karen. Karen? Did they send you to find us?
Tom?
That's right.
They brought me here because they don't understand.
Who done it?
They didn't expect resistance on this level. They find that interesting and want to talk.
Interesting. You thought this was going to be easy? Superior forces? Superior weapons? You murder millions of people, you steal our children, and now you want to negotiate? What the hell do you want from us?
I don't give a damn what it was. I'm going to blow this one straight to hell.
don't.
After all the people they killed, give me one good reason why I shouldn't.
Because of Ben.
Ben, what about Ben?
The harness is a process, and Ben isn't free from it. They'll call him back, unless you go with them.
It's a lie, Tom. You don't want to do this.
No, I don't. Put that patch of skin on his back. And the way he hears that signal, they still got a hold over him.
Tom, I know how much Ben means to you, but you can't trust him.
They can force you. But they don't want that.
I can't let them take Ben back.
Tom. Tom.
So what's that about? I know he had to go with them pretty much. He couldn't say, nah, we're cool. Yeah. We're going to drive away in this truck. Don't follow us.
Thanks
in
for
your
the
ship.
Offer, but I'm going to have to refuse right now.
It's like, what the hell? That's some cliffhanger. I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah. How the hell did they think they were going to pull that one off with the chance that it could have just been a miniseries?
Right. Like, if it didn't get picked up for another season, it'd be like, okay, thanks for that, guy.
Yeah.
Thankfully that it'll be back. And did you see the thing at the end? Falling Skies will return summer 2012.
It's like, you sons of bitches.
I ain't gonna wait a year, but I thought it was a fun show. It was entertaining. Sometimes they took a little side plot, so I was like, all right, you're just killing time on this episode, aren't you? Come on.
I think they're still finding their groove.
Right.
Well,
I'm definitely
wondering, what if the filler was added, you know, when they knew they got picked up for another season?
Right. It's possible.
You know, maybe there was another ending, you know, that they could have ended.
I think it. I liked the characters more as time went on too.
Sure.
I think that they've grown on me, and I genuinely want to. I hope that there's like a big picture story going on here, because what it seems like, the aliens, the Skitters arrive and they pretty much get rid of the threat, and then the big aliens show up. And the Skitters are just their servants that they've enslaved, you know. Who knows? Maybe the Skitters that arrived were from – they were slaves from another planet, I guess, where they took that over. You know? They turned them into their drones. So it's interesting what they're going to do here, because they don't seem that threatened by them.
No.
By they had machine guns and stuff, and the alien just still came outside. He didn't seem too threatened by it. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see more. Have you guys been watching Alphas?
Yes.
I have, yeah.
Alphas. The episode last week I thought was really good, where the
Rosetta.
Rosetta, the autistic girl.
That was fantastic.
Where it was
Clicks and Pops made her own language.
First of all, Gary has grown on me so much where he just entertains the hell out of me. He's hilarious.
He's great.
And then when he figures out that the girl is communicating through all these crazy, like, you know, scratching on brushes and stuff like that. But then the reveal that she's like the leader, and they're following her instructions, I guess.
Yeah, she is Red Flag.
Right. That was pretty cool. And I love the whole idea that Red Flag is like this big group of alphas that...
Well, they don't know how big the group is. Remember, they thought it was a small resistance.
Well, remember
group.
At the end...
Well, they know at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that those guys, like Bill and I were talking about this after the episode, they wanted to blow up a pharmaceutical company, or was it...
Yeah.
That
was creating a birth control pill...
Yeah, and it was supposed to help women in childbirth, but they said a side effect that kept alphas from being born?
Right.
Like it would, and they wanted to stop that. And what I didn't get is, was the government secretly putting that drug to keep alphas from being, or is just a side effect?
My own mind, I was saying no, but it has to just be a side effect, because that seemed like an awful lackadaisical security setup if it was
right.
Like a government-run thing.
Right. And I like how they do the whole thing where you think Gary finds the truck, and then they go and they find it, and it's just a guy. It's not the alphas. And that's when he figures out the girl lied to him. He's like, no, there's something wrong with his number here, you know. I thought that was good. I enjoy the show.
Yeah, so do I.
This week's Alvis.
This week was a little strange.
They kind of reminded me of like a Fringe side filler. Story episode, you know?
Yeah.
Had the weird people who would. They were like addicted to something in withdrawal and they would die, and then you find out it's this lady. But what was great, the beginning of the episode, they all get their badges, and Gary's real excited about his badge. And then I love later on when they're in the school, when Gary's walking down the hall, because he can see all the computer stuff, like, and he just looks like he's waving his hands in the air as this crazy kid. And he sees the jock douchebag that everyone talks about on their emails and texts and stuff, and I thought that was great. Let's check this out.
Morning, everyone. I come bearing gifts.
Oh, let me open it.
All right.
Let me open it, please.
No, I want to. Oh, yeah. Let me open it, please.
It's the sound of red tape being cut, courtesy of Agent Sullivan.
Oh, it's badges.
That's official cover, right?
Nail on the head, Cameron.
I get to keep this one. It's my photo.
Apparently we all get one.
Now we both have badges, Bill.
DCIS? Look at your picture.
Agent Sullivan said this is going to help us with our investigatory hurdles.
I thought I was the answer to our investigatory hurdles.
Here's yours, Bill.
What does DCIS even stand for?
Well, it says it's Defense Criminal Investigative Service.
Yeah, still no idea.
David Burton. No one likes David Burton. Not the coach, not anyone. He punched you. Yeah. Did you see Burton freaking out? Freaking. F-R-E-A-K-N. That's not a word. Guy's a psycho. Douche. Douche.
Get out of my hallway, wuss.
Oh, hey. You're Dave Burton. Killer scares people. You scare people.
Killer? Since when are they letting retards to the school?
Hey, you shouldn't use that word. I'm autistic. You're a retard.
You look pretty retarded to me.
32 on the Cars scale. You have bad breath. Yeah, Carly Wellen. She said that she'd rather lick a toilet seat than kiss you. It got 47 retweets. Hey, don't touch me. I don't like to be touched.
Yeah, that's really too bad for you, man.
Oh, Gary! Get out of there!
There's a great scene with Gary in the restaurant, too. Where he was, he kept using those cliched lines like respect the badge and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was great.
I liked in that scene where they're going to beat up Gary that Hicks uses his ability just to avoid all their punches because his super fast reflexes. I thought that was funny.
They and then throw a book.
Yeah, and then he slid a book down the hall to knock the guy over. That was funny.
He didn't hurt any of the kids.
Yeah, he just avoided them. And so it turns out that this kid who got picked on, his mom had this ability to make you feel really loved. And then when she cut it off, she was like, no,
it was like
I don't want to see you anymore.
Endorphins kicking in.
Yeah, you would just die. That was kind of weird. And she gets sent to, again, this hospital where they keep...
Binghamton.
Yeah, where they keep the dangerous alphas. So they're really stacking up dangerous alphas there,
but it
they?
Sounds like there's another one also. Like, Binghamton's the halfway, and then there's an even worse one.
Wow. And then...
Because he had made a comment that, like, at least it's not wherever. Maybe I'm mistaken, but it sounded like there's someplace else.
And in the Rosetta episode at the end, when he shows the map of just how many alphas are out there or whatever, red flag alphas, weren't they...
Yeah.
I would be scared, too, as a regular human.
yeah.
I'd be kind of like, okay, Alpha Registration That's, Act, like in X-Men.
Especially with that crazy bitch leading them.
Yeah, that is crazy. I liked her power, too, that she can understand any language.
Yeah.
And it went further than that, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, she can just do all sorts of shit. I don't know.
She was, like, even beyond Gary, because she could do all the same thing he could do.
Right. And I love that when she actually changes him, too, when she's trying to tell him to be more independent and stuff.
That he can do? That he does. Sorry.
Yeah. What?
I said something. It sounded really weird. I didn't.
Oh, I'm so confused right now.
And, well, when he... is brushing his teeth in the end. His mom goes, here's your water, and I hope it's right. And he's like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'll just get it myself. Like, she helps him kind of be more independent.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, she can slip him messages anytime, right?
She slipped him a message whenever he was brushing his teeth.
That she was sorry. And what was with his weird toothbrush?
That's an awesome toothbrush. Looks like it does top and bottom.
I didn't get one of those.
I thought maybe that was like a tongue brush or something. It was massive.
Yeah, I just love like his long brushing scenes where he's messing with the emails and stuff like that too.
I wish I could do that.
It's a fun show. I really like Alphas. I want bigger story, bigger mythology as it goes on.
Well, I don't think they're going to, I think they're limiting it because of budget.
Right, right. But I just wanted, I like the whole red flag thing. I want them to encounter more of those guys.
Well, now that they finally canceled Eureka, maybe they'll get a little extra money.
Yeah.
That's one of those shows that was around for way too long.
They canceled it, but it still has another season to go.
I think it's only like 3 or 4 episodes.
Oh, really? I thought it was whatever its run is now, and then it'll come back later on.
Maybe I'm mistaken.
Later on.
Wouldn't be the first time.
All right, guys, let's talk about Entourage, huh?
No.
I want to talk about the previous episode, because we haven't seen him on the show yet, but there's a certain celebrity chef that's going to be on the show this season.
Rocco DeSpirito.
Oh, that would be great. But here's a reveal. Ari thinks his wife is sleeping with a waiter. And then she comes in and tells him this. Let's check this out.
Hello, hello. It's been too long.
I saw you peering at me from behind the latte machine this morning.
I know. I'm so sorry. I just saw you, and I don't think I've ever not seen you two together. So I just wish you were together.
I know, Lauren.
Because you are like the perfect couple. Like Lady Di and Charles.
Lady Di and Charles got divorced and then she died. Now shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry. Bye-bye. My intentions are good.
All right, his intentions are good.
What's going on?
Can we talk about this in your office, please?
Yeah, sure. So.
My sister is hysterical.
What? Why?
She doesn't want to be in the middle of this.
The middle of what?
Ari, we are separated. You need to stay out of my life.
Well, your separate life creeps into my life. All right? You'd have to move to Iowa for it not to. As it is...
Did you screw up David's audition at Mad Men?
David? You're actually seeing a fucking waiter?
Would you really just randomly try and destroy someone's life?
A waiter who is fucking my wife at a restaurant that I basically built is not random.
Did you really ruin his audition?
I'm not going to answer that until you do.
Ari, please. You need to let me live my life. If there's any chance of us ever getting back together, I need to explore other things.
Well, if there's any chance for us to get back together, you cannot be exploring a fucking waiter. It is humiliating.
First of all, it is far less humiliating than the things that you have put me through over the years. And second of all, I'm not dating David.
Then how do you know about this and why do you care?
Because I am dating someone who cares.
Who?
His boss.
Bobby? Flay. You're dating a cook?
He's a chef, Ari, and he's a businessman. And he's kind and respectful and generous.
He's a red-headed fire crotch. He's a genetic mistake.
Jesus, Ari, you are such a child. Hey, if you have any sense of decency, you will fix what you did to David.
I think we all agree.
Everyone
hear
my word. Bobby Flay is now my sworn enemy, which means he is yours. Now, if anyone eats or even recommends any one of that Boy Meets Grill establishments, it'll be Agent Meets Fist.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, huh, guys?
That was fantastic.
It took a long time to get there, didn't it? So
a 30-minute show.
What did you guys think of? No, it's not a 30-minute show. It's a 22-minute show.
Oh, 22-minute show, yeah.
The show was like a blink of an eye. This whole story with Tig from Sons of Anarchy, Bill.
That was so strange.
The old producer who's straight now. He's sober, and he wants to do a movie with Vince. He wants to help him do the...
But he's not really sober.
The Romanian minor movie.
Yeah, and everyone's telling Vince to get out of there. He's like, no, I owe it to the guy, because he's trying to make a change. It's that whole, what the hell? I don't know. And then he blows his brains out at the end of the episode.
Perfect. So I think everybody wants to do that.
Shouldn't
by
he have
the
taken
end of an
Vince and Turtle with him? Like a Vince on himself?
Suicide pact.
And then what do you guys think of it makes no sense at all, the whole Dice storyline where he wants to demand more money.
the Dice storyline is irritating because Andrew Dice Clay is irritating. I don't care. It's not funny. It's not entertaining.
Well, they can't let Johnny have his way, right? They can't have him let him have success in any way. So I did think
it was funny that Steven's favorite comedian was doing the Dice impression.
That part I laughed at.
Because
they brought in someone to do a Dice impression, and then they show that it's Jamie, what's his face?
Kennedy.
Jamie Kennedy. I cracked up at that.
and the whole turtle storyline with...
Don't care.
Yeah. Oh, my girlfriend.
Where's my girlfriend?
Me.
She won't answer my phone. She won't answer the phone.
Yeah. It tells you something.
It's like, okay, then the guy's buying him out or whatever. It's like, I so don't care if Turtle finds.
Yes, but his... Turtle wants to open a baked clam restaurant.
Mm-hmm. I love how. We already know Vince is a friggin' moron, but he's like, that sounds great. Cash out my money and I'll give it to you to open your clam. He's like, you're so dumb. You're so stupid. I love Entourage. Let's see where it goes from here. All right, guys?
Oh, and then your E and his girlfriend, too. That's another.
Yeah, they've broken up. But they haven't talked about that since she said that she was leaving town.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no. But I guess he's going to go chase after her by the season finale.
Of course he is.
He's moving back to New York.
You know what's going to happen? They're all going to go their separate ways.
And then the Entourage movie that Doug Ellen wants to make is going to bring them all back together. What story could he possibly want to tell?
Yeah, there hasn't been a story the entire show.
He just is like, why is he ending the series? You could go on forever with just your made up. At the top of your head, storylines every year.
What storylines again?
My favorite thing ever was
with Bill on this.
Vince as a junkie was my favorite storyline they've ever done on the series.
Vince the junkie dating the porn star.
That was the most interesting thing that's ever happened to him because now he's back to being boring, you know, and just throwing money that he's had.
Doesn't have.
Yes,
right
but now he's going to be tortured by a suicide that he witnessed.
No, did you see in the season previews, the guy was like, your parole officer needs you to pee in a cup for this or whatever. And then he tells Eric, he goes, I smoked a joint. And now they're all worried about that. So
I didn't see. I watch it online.
That problem will be over by the end. When they show previews to next week, you know, you think it's going to be a big problem, but it's over by the end of the episode.
Yeah, of course.
It's over in the first 5 minutes, the problem.
Right. Now,
so they can move on to some other stupid storyline. One that always stands out in my mind is the storyline of Turtle collecting shoes. And it's wow, this is what they got.
Oh, yeah, he collected his kicks. Hey, man, nice kicks. It's like, yeah.
Shoes
okay.
you can't wear.
That's Entourage
Doug
for
Ellen,
you.
Doug Ellen's a deep guy, isn't he?
Also, Bobby Flay is married.
I know. Hey, this is the alternate world Bobby Flay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Bill. I want to play a moment from True Blood that really cracked me up. Now, it's when Pam is trying to kill Tara. And I assumed, Bill, you were rooting for Pam here in this scene.
Oh, my God, yes.
She wants to kill Tara and her girlfriend, and something hilarious happens, and it really cracked me up. Because we all know Pam, she's been cursed by the witch where she's falling apart. She's
rotting away.
She's rotting away, so she looks really gross right now. So let's check this out.
I can't decide which you to kill first. You like your piece of yellow tail? I'll start with her then. Play fair now.
Run! Run out of bar!
Shut up! You want to die first? Fine by me. How does it feel to have your life slipping out of you?
Huh? What's that? I can't understand you. Too bad.
I'll never know.
I knew they were killers. TMZ's offered $10,000 for real-life vamp attack video.
Well, you're going to share it with me?
What the hell's the matter with her face?
Hey, show us your face.
Are you sure she ain't a zombie?
Holy crap, now they're zombies?
I am not a zombie!
That's
exactly a zombie. I'm sick. I'm not a zombie.
Maybe 10 minutes from now, or 10 years, the moment you think you're safe, I promise, I will hunt you down and skin shred you like confetti.
Should we go help her?
So there's zombies now? If I live in a world with vampires, I'd be like, there's probably zombies too, right? Just waiting for the zombies.
Please tell me that Tara gets killed in the books.
Oh, I have no idea. Her character isn't like that in the book. She's barely even in them. She's just an acquaintance. They made her into a main character on the show, basically.
Okay. So, see, now I don't know if it's the writing of the character or the actress herself that irritates me.
It's the way they write her, I think. Okay. Where she's like,
I was thinking maybe they're mutually exclusive.
When I was like, there's times where I've tried to like, okay, Tara, I understand she's been in this situation that's pretty horrible. I would hate to have vampires coming after me, wherever. But there's the moment when, remember, she's at Sookie's house and she's talking to Sookie, having a nice talk, and then Eric reveals himself to be there. She's like, wait, Tara, let me explain this.
Yeah.
The reason why he's here, she goes, no, y'all crazy. I'm out of here. You crazy MFers. And she leaves. And I was like, that right there is why I hate her character.
Well, yeah, she's always very knee-jerk, and she gets into these situations where it ends up being worse than if she just would have listened.
Yeah, just stop and
listen. The character never learns, and it's irritating as hell.
Exactly. Right.
Like, if she just would have listened to Sookie, even the one scene or the one season, she never would have gotten involved with that Maynard thing. And, you know, it's
and
like
now
every,
she's involved
she just,
with the witch, too.
Yeah.
And I understand why she's that whole Franklin thing messed her up, where she's helping the witch lady. And I like the whole making them all rise from their whatever, their sleep or whatever.
Rise from your grave.
I know. To meet the sun. Oh, my God. Beastbuster. So, no, wait. Not Beastbuster. Beast. Not
Beast.
Altered Beast. There you go.
But I like Beastbuster better.
No, Beastbuster was a different video game. It was a light gun game. In arcades. It was
I don't think I ever played that.
Beastbusters is awesome. It was a zombie game that you played with an Uzi. And you go... And it would scroll sideways. It was pretty fun. But
I'm looking at it now. That is awesome.
It's a fun game. And I actually lost feeling in my finger at one point because I squeezed so hard on the trigger. I like the whole Jessica and Jason thing going on here. Because Hoyt's a big dumb galoot, isn't he?
He needs to go back to his mama.
I love where he's like, he shows up and all Jason can think about is Jessica and... I guess because he's had her blood and sexual dreams, and he comes over and he goes, I'm worried about you, Jason. You're the one who was raped. And he's just like,
what?
Oh, yeah, I guess I think Jason's already over that, isn't he? He got over it pretty quick.
Well, now that he's not a werepanther.
Yeah, I'm not a werepanther. Jason's always my favorite character.
That killed me. That
I like his idea of trying to get his mind off of Jessica is working out.
Yeah,
doing a handstand push-up wearing boxing gloves.
Yeah, I love when he goes to open the door with his boxing glove. He's like, oh, damn it. Oh. And he's like, how about I whip up some sloppy joes or something? Because I'd rather do that than talk.
It's like a cafeteria lunch lady.
His character describes
I love to cook.
And he's going to save Jessica. I don't think Jessica's going to roast in the sun.
No, of course not.
He's going to save her just in time. So we'll see what happens there. That's my favorite storyline right now going
There's
on.
A great line there. Steven kind of touched on it where... He says, I like to cook more than listen to you or something. Like this really backhanded remark.
I'd rather cook you something to eat.
I'd rather cook than talk to you or something. Yeah.
That's basically what he was saying. He doesn't want to talk anymore. I don't have Cinemax, Bill, but there's this new show premiering on Cinemax called Strike Back or something.
Okay.
And the trailers I've seen to it, it's not a soft core type of thing, okay?
Bummer.
It's like Cinemax is doing original programming like HBO, and it's like a cool action show, and the trailer to it, it looks pretty badass to me.
I'll tag it.
And it's a free Cinemax weekend this week, so I'm going to record the first episode. And
I'm trying to look who's in it. if it like looks familiar.
We'll be able to watch some, you know, softcore porn also.
Now, is it a Cinemax original or is it an imported show?
I believe it's a Cinemax original. At least that's what I thought.
Okay.
It looks like a cool action show. So
it launches new original series, huh?
And it looks like cool action and shooting guns and stuff like that. Awesome.
Inspired by the UK series of the same name, Strike Back follows a team of anti-terrorist operatives working to stop a terrorist attack. So it's a remake of a UK show.
Oh, nice. And I see that Damian Lewis, who was on the show Life, has a new show on Showtime coming out, Bill.
Oh, nice.
Where he may or may not be a sleeper agent. Or something.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Is that Homeland or whatever?
Yeah. I'll check that out too.
This is the second try that I think Showtime's had with a terrorist show.
Yeah, they had Sleeper Cell.
Yeah, which I never got into.
Yeah, I never got it. I never watched, gave it a chance or anything.
My favorite Showtime show, I mean, I like Dexter and all, but it's starting to wear its welcome a little thin.
It's been around a while.
Yeah, it was Huff, the Hank Azaria show, where he was a psychiatrist.
Right.
Who was obviously, I think he was fighting his own demons, where he was like hallucinatory and manic.
Yeah.
But that was a really great show, and it only lasts two seasons.
Yeah, it sucks sometimes where just certain shows don't, like, I'll never get over that Deadwood got canceled, because I love that show so much. But, you know, I want to talk about, we're going to do the news, Bill, but what do you think about the Frank Darabont quit? First, he quit The Walking Dead, but then he got fired off The Walking Dead.
Yeah, he did.
And there's a story in The Hollywood Reporter basically about it, where AMC became real dicks about it because they own the whole property and they wanted to save money. And it sounds like he fought a lot for the cast and crew, and they thought it would be just best to get him out of there, right?
Yeah, well, then they don't have to deal with him.
Yeah, and it really is unfortunate. It really just sucks.
Well, it sounds like AMC needs some restructuring. And if they didn't think they could budget the show on their own, they should have sought a partner, just like
a studio.
They did with Mad Men and Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and the story they talk about, like, I don't know, is Breaking Bad like Warner's or somebody, Lionsgate, and then Mad Men has Sony, or maybe it's vice versa, the other way
around. Yeah.
But anyway, they have a studio backing them with the cost, sharing the cost of it, so AMC doesn't have to. But AMC is paying for everything with Walking Dead, and now they're like, even though it's a huge show with huge ratings and everything,
it's their number one rated show.
Yeah, and now they're treating it all frugally. You know, it just sucks.
Yeah. And not only frugally, they're treating it with less respect.
Right.
You know, there's, I think one of the lines was like, well, can you shoot four episodes indoor, four episodes outdoor kind of thing? Like, they're
it's the Walking Dead.
Affecting the integrity of the show.
Yeah, it's The Walking Dead. They're outside a lot, you know. What are you going to do? And one of the other ones was like, can't we hear the zombies more than show them?
Yeah, they want to save on makeup costs.
If I was running the show at that point, I would have quit, honestly. Yeah. If I was Frank Darabont, I was like, okay, you know, this was cool and everything, but this sucks. I don't want to do this.
So who are they going to replace him with?
They already did. Some guy who used to run other shows. I can't remember what they are now. But I wasn't impressed by the name or anything.
No.
It's just some guy who's running.
It's somebody they can push around.
Yeah, it's some guy who's like, okay, yes, AMC, yes, yes, I'll do it. All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do the news.
Actually an executive private chef.
Oh.
Actually, an executive douchebag.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
I got to thank Alwyn and Swiley for sending me stories this week. Made it a little easier for me today.
Oh, cool.
A 24-year-old woman attacked a 12-year-old girl for looking at her 30-year-old boyfriend, according to investigators in Connecticut. Police in North Branford arrested Candace Kiley for allegedly assaulting a victim who's half her age. Law enforcement officials said Kiley lashed out at the 12-year-old during a family birthday party. The suspect's boyfriend was in the kitchen cleaning up a spill when Kiley allegedly claimed the child had been looking at him all day.
And I love it!
Kiley then grabbed the girl by her hair, hurled her to the floor.
Holy shit.
She landed flat on her back, hitting the back of her head on the floor. Everybody immediately came to the 12-year-old's aid. Family members broke up the fight, which left the child with a bump on her head.
My vote goes for stupid.
The victim, who is reportedly a friend of the suspect's younger sister, also suffered an asthma attack.
So she watched it, and she was like, oh, my God.
That guy's so hot.
Wow.
Bitch, you ain't going anywhere near my man.
What is wrong with that lady?
It's like an episode of Maury. 12 years old? Come on.
She's really insecure in her relationship.
Yeah, I would say so.
No shit. The Hamburglar may steal the occasional patty, but he would never stoop this low. That was not the Hamburglar.
Rubble.
Rubble. Superpowers.
I don't think this Hamburglar has superpowers.
He's just really quick.
Yeah. Mayor McCheese has superpowers. Florida police arrested a man on Monday after he repulsed McDonald's customers by allegedly holding a 10-minute pimple popping session outside the restaurant.
Gross! What? Gross! I'm going to sit right here on this stump and pop my pimples.
How many pimples does this guy have in 10 minutes?
He's like, I'm going to be here a while.
I have a feeling he was looking in the glass. So,
he was
using it as a mirror, and someone was sitting right there eating a Big Mac going, oh, God, dude.
Holy shit, that was a big one.
It's like, oh, dude, this guy, oh, look how many more he has.
This guy needs a bath. Drop some acid and pop some pimples.
Wait, he got arrested for this too?
Yes, when an off-duty officer discovered that Owen Lemire Cato, 23, was Oh, Jesus, I can't even read that. Okay. This is really gross. He was... I'm sorry. It's making me nauseous. He was squeezing his back zit.
What? That
in front of the McDonald's. The police officer asked the suspect for his name. Police said Cato, who has an outstanding warrant.
And is also with the Green Hornet.
Yes, gave the name John Smith.
John Smith? Nice.
Before eventually relinquishing his actual identity.
He come with that off the top of his head. John Smith.
Smith, sir.
I got to get back to what I was doing.
Oh, so. not exactly loving his situation.
Oh, no.
Pimple Popper then allegedly made a run for it.
I'm popping it.
How did he allegedly make a run for it? Either you do or you don't.
Maybe they grabbed him instantly by the collar of his shirt or something.
Look, he's allegedly running. He's innocent until proven guilty of running.
You have to prove the difference between running and jogging.
Man.
Another cop eventually tackled Cato and took him into custody, which is bad.
I thought Cato knew all sorts of martial arts and stuff.
Exactly. Police eventually found a syringe in Cato's pocket.
You are one pathetic loser.
Which the suspect girlfriend said he used to inject Oxycontin.
Holy shit, now he's a druggie?
No wonder his face is breaking out.
It is humiliating!
Kato was charged with providing false identification to police officers.
I love that. His name is
resisting arrest and possession of drug equipment.
I'm like speechless right now.
Okay, I'm just going to tell up front, anybody sending me stories, keep the zip-popping stories to yourself.
That is really gross.
Yeah, I mean it's okay if you, like,
arrest you for that, you know that.
Privacy, your own home, doing your thing, but I don't want to read about it. All right, a Louisiana man arrested yesterday for driving around a Walmart parking lot with his penis exposed.
Oh, dear.
Explained to cops that he gets aroused when visiting the retail giant.
Congratulations.
Man, those deals just turn me on.
It's like, oh, Walmart. Oh.
No, it's just they're always rolling back prices.
Anyone for penis?
Travis Keene, 28, was busted on an obscenity charge and booked into the, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Awachita. Awachita? Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. Parish jail, where he's being held in lieu of $5,000.
How does he do that
bail
while driving also? I mean, do you lose your concentration?
Apparently he can multitask.
Son, you show me a good loser and I'll show you an a-hole.
Excuse me?
Did he say butthole or pee hole?
I don't know.
Sorry.
I think he said asshole.
Okay. Keaton was collared after Keaton was collared after a witness reported to police that a man driving a Ford Taurus drove past him with his penis exposed.
Did you say a Ford Taurus?
Ford Taurus. It's the you know, it's a Viking car. You know, kind of like a fjord Taurus. drove past with his penis exposed. The witness who tailed the Ford, or the Fjord, drove around a Walmart parking lot in Monroe, told cops that when the suspect saw a female in the parking lot, he would stop and watch him.
Oh, gross.
Man, they must have got a good deal on that coffee maker.
I know.
Look at all those Pop-Tarts he's got.
Well, it's not a toaster.
And I'll put some Pop-Tarts on it.
When Officer Colby Spillers confronted him, Keene reportedly stated that he did have his penis out because of past experiences he had had at Walmart. Keene stated when he comes to Walmart, he gets aroused.
He's a red-headed fire crotch. He's a genetic mistake.
What? Genetic mistake, yes, but I don't know if he's redheaded.
Didn't say so in the story.
That's just mean. Ukiah, California. What the hell's with these names, people? Live somewhere normal.
I'm embarrassed.
Two former nursing assistants at an Ukiah nursing home have been sentenced to 20 days in jail for allegedly orchestrating a prank that involved coating dementia patients with ointment so they would be slippery for workers on the next shift.
What?
Congratulations.
What the hell?
Who has a thought like that?
That's hilarious. Wow. Where's he going? Where's he going? Hey, you got to get him. Oh, he slipped right through my hands. I can't believe it.
How did this happen?
I love these all steel.
Why are you so
pans
oily?
They're non-stick because they use thermal on.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
They're non-stick.
What is with thermal on?
Oh, my God.
thank you, Graham Bowles. I totally expect a burp like that to come out of that guy. Looks like he can produce something that gaseous. those freaking Prada glasses of his or whatever the hell they are. Dolce & Gabbana. The Press Democrat of Santa Rosa says that Monica Rose Smith and Jennifer Louise Burton also were sentenced Tuesday to 2 years probation for the misdemeanor elder abuse. Aw, so there is a...
Guy's a psycho.
In case you do abuse the elderly, there's a charge for that.
Oh, yeah.
There should be.
Yeah, because, you know, greasing up old dementia patients isn't very nice.
It's not good, not good.
They did it to
I'm
seven
really
of them.
Getting tired of it.
The Mendocino County District Attorney says none of the seven patients who were layered head to foot in ointment was injured.
So it didn't really harm them.
They were just greasy.
We thought this was going to be easy.
Gainesville, Florida authorities say a woman lost three fingers when she tried to wake her boyfriend up with fireworks left over from the 4th of July.
Oh, joke's on her, huh?
The Gainesville Sun reports the 36-year-old woman and the boyfriend told police they had been drinking early Sunday morning before she was injured by the blast. You know, you want to get a couple drinks in before you go to church.
What's wrong with that?
The woman told police she had been holding the firework left over from the summer holiday and was planning to throw it out the front door, but the device detonated before she could toss it, taking her thumb and two fingers with the explosion.
What a dumb bitch.
Now she'll never be able to hold a gun properly like Roland. Police say the blast and caused a piece of bone to become stuck in the ceiling.
Holy shit!
What the hell did she have?
Sticks of dynamite?
Yeah.
That's some powerful fireworks.
She got an M80?
That had to be more powerful than an M80.
And they all went off at the same time, right? That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. That's it. Okay, last story. A famed Austrian museum has fired an employee for washing his hands and face with his own urine.
Oh.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. I don't know what you're so oohing about. Alfred Zopelt says he was fired after 23 years of working as an attendant at the Belvedere, a castle in Vienna with a major art collection. He says his adherence to urine therapy was previously never a problem.
Love it!
Zopelt, whatever, 57, said Thursday his notice from Belvedere said he was fired because you regularly rub urine into your skin, particularly the face and hands. With this, you soil your place of work and threaten the health of your coworkers. I don't think any of that's right. He may stink. Urine is sterile. It just stinks.
Right.
What is urine therapy for?
I guess urine therapy claims medical and cosmetic benefits. What benefits? I have no idea.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting benefits. You smell like ammonia after the end of the day.
Bye-bye. My intentions are good.
Why, were you going to try it?
No, I'm just curious why he would do that.
Yeah, why would
I'll have to look that up.
Do anything with your urine other than flush it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to save this for later so I can wash my hair.
Honestly, I could flip this whole dining room upside down, man.
Urine therapy. Okay, various applications of human urine for medicinal or cosmetic properties, including drinking, and massaging one's skin with one's own urine. No known scientifically proven health benefits such therapeutic use.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, it sounds like it's just gross. Pretty much it.
Then you show me a good loser and I'll show you my bowl.
What? Of course, some idiots that say urine therapy is a good say the Bible says to do it. And here's the verse they use. Drink waters from thy own cistern, flowing water from thy own well. I think that means the water on your property not flowing from you.
Holy crap.
You freaking idiots.
You're a retard.
Yeah. Wow. Oh.
So take note, America. LaJuan made the boldest move that anyone can do.
So strange. In China, urine of young boys has been regarded as a curative. They wash babies' faces to protect the skin with urine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the French soak stockings in urine and wrap them around their necks in order to cure strep throat. what the fuck is going on in this world?
Still no idea.
This is so wrong.
I didn't know. I had no idea this stuff was going on.
I've heard of the urine in on your feet to procure athletes' feet.
Really?
The only thing I've heard about urine is jellyfish stings.
Yeah,
that's it.
I've heard that.
Just heard that.
Or you could pee in your radiator if the Russians are invading America. That's it.
Here it says urinating on jellyfish stings is common folk remedy, but has no beneficial effect and may be counterproductive as it can activate pneumocytes remaining at the site of the sting.
So don't do that.
Don't do that.
Pour Coke on it.
Some people use it as an intoxicating drug. I guess they ferment it and drink it.
What the hell, man? There's other things to drink.
This is really disturbing. Why?
That's whack.
Why are people doing this to themselves? It's waste from your body. If your body wasn't using
it. We look like assholes right now, man.
Shit, that was awesome.
And that's news for this week.
You had to end on that, huh?
All right, Bill.
Urine news.
Awesome.
Man.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs, huh?
You're in for a treat.
Oh, nice. Urine movies. All right, let's check it out. Ow!
DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
Tractor beam.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, DVDs coming out on Blu-ray. One of my favorite movies as a kid, John Candy, Eugene Levy, Armed and Dangerous.
All right, yeah.
Very, very strange movie.
And I love it!
Luan loves that movie.
It gives him superpowers.
Damn straight!
I just remember Meg Ryan was really at her super-duper hottest back then when this was made. I had a major crush on her, even though I think I was like 10.
She was cute. She was always adorable back in the day.
All right, moving on. We have Assassins on Blu-ray. The riveting Stallone and Antonio Banderas film.
Guy's a psycho.
Not a good movie.
No.
Oh, come on. This is Richard Donner's opus.
Get out of my hallway, wuss.
Yeah, this... What shocked me was this was co-written by the Wachowski brothers.
With superpowers?
I guess you just call them the Wachowskis now, since one of them is no longer a brother.
I always call them the Wachowskis.
Wachowski?
Like Mike Wachowski from Monster.
Mike Wachowski! I love that movie. All right, moving on DVD and Blu-ray. We have The Bang Bang Club.
The Bang Bang Club.
Yeah, this is a recent film about a group of wartime photojournalists that were in South Africa during the apartheid stuff. And it's got Ryan Phillippe and Taylor Kitsch in it.
Bang bang!
Bang bang! Yes, the kitchen gun.
Goodbye, Dad! I love Kitchen Gun.
I use the toilet grenade.
I love you, Kitchen Gun!
This so sink funny. Is filthy!
So this movie's
you know,
called...
it's funny you play that, because speaking of Peter Serafinowicz, the next DVD is a film... starring Peter Serafinowicz.
Really?
Yeah, it's called The Best. It's called The Best and the Brightest. It's got Neil Patrick Harris, Peter Serafinowicz, and Amy Sedaris in it. And I've heard about it. but I don't really know anything about it.
This sink is filthy.
Right. Better clean it.
Goodbye, dirt.
Sparkles like new.
I love Kitchen Gun. That's on. I love Peter Serafinowicz.
Very funny guy. Okay, so this sounds like kind of an oddball comedy where they're trying to get their daughter into a New York City private kindergarten class.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they're probably pretending to be something they're not. And...
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Okay.
And moving on, we have the Big Lebowski limited edition on Blu-ray.
I like you a lot.
I don't know what makes this any different than the version that came out in the bowling ball a couple years ago, or last year.
Which is better, the bowling ball version or the Planet of the Apes head?
Both of them are pretty ridiculous, but I just don't want that creepy ape head in my house.
Oh, Jesus, what's that smell, man?
Love when I pee on his rug.
Yeah, sure. I'll just check with the boys down at the crime lab.
Sorry, Suey man, you gonna catch who did this, man? Is this my car? Oh, yeah, yeah, we'll run it by the boys at the crime lab. I love that. One of the best lines in that is when the sheriff is talking to me. He goes, I wasn't, like, paying attention. It wasn't listening to a word he said. And then he throws a coffee cup in his head.
That's one of those movies I saw in the theater with absolutely no knowledge of what it was about. Mm-hmm. And I just laughed my ass off the entire time. It was just me and my friend Mike. And we were the only two in the theater. It did not do well.
What's that smell, man?
Theatrical run. All right, moving on. We have Cobra on Blu-ray.
Ooh, Cobra.
Marion Cobretti.
Ching, 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 ching. I don't have the two axes.
The axe gang. Yeah, crime's the disease. He's the cure.
Awesome.
Just such a crazy ass movie. And it's another one of those movies that was
chop here.
Apparently directed by George P. Cosmatos.
Yes. Ghost directed by Sylvester Stallone. That's what you always hear about that. Gotta love Cobra. Great movie.
You know, I think I might have to get this for $9 on Blu-ray.
The best part about Cobra is the weird music video moment.
Yes!
What the hell? There's like a montage in it. And you know that's how you know Sylvester Stallone directed the movie, because...
Well, also in all the modeling scenes.
Yeah, she's like... Brigitte Nielsen is with like some stupid robot or something.
Oh, Jesus. Same robot from Rocky V. Or Rocky IV. It was Rocky IV. Where Polly got a robot waiter.
That's right. Not ridiculous at all.
No, it's totally realistic.
It is humiliating.
All right, next Blu-ray and DVD is a film called The Conspirator.
Oh.
And apparently it's about after Abraham Lincoln's assassination. Seven men, one woman are arrested and charged with conspiring to kill the president and others. It's got James McAvoy, Robin Wright, Kevin Kline, Colm Meaney, Tom Wilkinson. Pretty impressive cast. So I might have to check. Oh, directed by Robert Redford.
Huh.
Why have I not heard of this?
Yeah, why haven't we? I haven't heard of it either.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting. I'm all
for it. This is going to be easy.
Historical drama. Huh. All right, so we learn something new every day.
It's a fucking lobster cross.
What the f*** is a brush?
I think I have a thrush.
I love that movie. What are you looking at? I thought it was my mother's douchebag.
Bill.
Back in Ohio. Why? Hey, what do you want? Leave me alone. I'm trying to do DVDs.
Bill.
No.
Bill.
No.
This party will continue without you.
That's fine. That's just fine.
What the... You know, seriously, like, are you for real?
Yes, I am. And the next DVD is for real Demolition Man on Blu-ray. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes, on Blu-ray.
Now we both have badges, Bill.
Awesome.
Be well, John Spartan.
Demolition Man. Nice.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Saw it in the theater and still love it. It's so stupid. Even whenever somebody went, hey, I got this role, Edgar Friendly, I think maybe we should cast Dennis Leary so that he can do his comedy bits that he did on MTV.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
he does.
That's all his character does.
He does his little monologue that was right from the MTV thing.
Yeah.
And they're eating rat burgers.
You see any cows down here?
You know what they cook on those rat burgers?
I love these all-steel MasterChef pans. They're non-stick because they use Thermalon.
Yeah, perfect for rat burgers.
I love how they use Thermalon. It's like he's getting paid to say Thermalon. All right, next in Blu-ray is Dexter, the fifth season.
That was the most recent season.
It was.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this last season.
I'm trying to think.
With Julia Stiles?
Oh, yeah, that wasn't bad. It had Johnny Lee Miller, mm-hmm. Zero Cool,
very,
Crash Override.
Very creepy Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah, it was.
Get out of my hallway, wuss.
That was a generally creepy storyline, the group of guys that would do their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... All right, moving on DVD and Blu-ray, we have Hoodwink 2.
I love these all-steel MasterChef pans. They're non-stick because they use Thermalon.
What, you cook hoodwinked on it? What the hell are you talking about?
Now, this is one of those animated films that looks just awful.
It looks like they it was in another language and they just did it over?
No, it just looks awful.
English accents? Yeah, it is awful. I've seen Hoodwinked, I think. Or was it the other one? There's Hoodwinked and something else by the same people. It's like it's a French movie that they put American voices on.
I don't know.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Next DVD and Blu-ray is the newest interpretation of Jane Eyre. I might check it out just because it has Michael Fassbender, who is just awesome.
Yes, he is.
In everything he does. So I'll give it a look. I'm not the... a fan of the story or the books. Moving on, we have Muppets on Blu-ray. Muppets from Space.
What's wrong with that?
I've never seen Muppets from Space. That's from 1999.
Nice.
And Muppets Take Manhattan from 1984, which I actually saw in the Midtown Theater in Washington, Pennsylvania. And I'll never forget, I got those wax pop bottle things.
Hi-ho.
That needs levelated.
Way to go, Steve. That's good stuff.
Thanks. I loved those things. They were just filled with sugar water. Wax
right.
filled with
yeah,
sugar
I remember
water.
Those.
And it was kind of gross after you bit into it.
Yeah. I would just chew them and then spit out the wax.
Do they make those anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
Yeah, I'm sure there's not a very big supply of... I think you've mentioned this show before, Jason, but just blanking. Outcasts?
Outcasts.
It's a BBC show.
Right. I wanted to know what the hell it was. I haven't actually seen it.
It says, when Earth becomes uninhabitable, a surviving group of pioneers decide to leave for the planet Carpathia to rebuild their lives and hopefully the human race. The series takes viewers into a new frontier as it explores survival, sex, politics,
superpowers,
Superpowers. And the drive for power in the new post-Earth era. Sounds... Honestly, it sounds like whoever made that Terra Nova on Fox kind of heard about this show and was like, well, let's do our own version.
And put dinosaurs in it.
Dinosaurs are awesome.
Hey, Bill.
I'm looking forward to Terra Nova just because it sounds so absurd.
It doesn't look... it looks watchable from what I've seen. The only thing that could kill it is horrible dialogue and just bad plot.
Well, I'm telling you right now, a curse on any show is the casting of Jason O'Mara. I mean, that guy, he shows up on more canceled series than you can shake a stick at.
If you just have cool gunning down dinosaurs with machine guns, because Jurassic Park did not give us that. People never use their guns right in those movies. I want to see you just mowing down T-Rexes.
I just want to know why. if they could travel back in time, why did they have to travel all the way back to the Jurassic era?
Yeah, how cool would that be, Bill, if you killed a dinosaur and then cooked it? It's got to taste good.
It's got to taste like chicken, because aren't they? They're birds.
Like on Flintstones, they have that giant rat right on the corner.
T-Rex
over.
Ribs.
Honestly, ribs. They don't go back in time, do they? Is that what it is? I thought they were going to a different planet.
No, they go back in time as a second chance. In the ads, that's what it says.
How do they? Okay. I guess they can't mess with...
They go through a wormhole.
Well,
didn't
you mess with the timeline or something?
I don't know.
Doesn't a butterfly screw everything up?
I thought they went back in time.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Now I'm going to have to look it up.
I like you a lot.
I guess
The show begins in the year 2149, a time when all life on planet Earth is threatened with extinction. In efforts to save the human race, scientists develop a time machine allowing people to travel 85 million years back in time to prehistoric Earth.
I'm, like, speechless right now.
So, do you not mess with the Earth by sending people back? It seems like you would.
You're questioning their logic?
Wouldn't there be repercussions of that?
Yeah, I would have to think
I guess
think
they
there
don't care
be.
At this point.
I guess they're dude, the world's screwed.
It's gonna end anyway.
Wouldn't you go back to the 50s or something and get a burger at a diner instead of with dinosaurs?
No, let's just make it as difficult as possible.
There's a great sci-fi story. I forget the name of the guy.
Unless they just can't control.
Where the people who live in the future and the world is ending, they send their children back in time, and it's like the 50s to where they send them to because they knew of their family tree, and they write a letter to the people who are alive then that they're related to please take care of our children. It was a really cool story.
Was it Clifford C-Mac?
Yeah, that was him. Yeah. And it was a really beautiful story, but I was thinking, that would be cool. Say if you lived in a time, you could go back in time. Go back to a time where you could actually stay with family members in the past, and it would be an incredible story, but they would understand it. They would see that you're part of the family, and they would raise you, and you would be in a time where, 100 years from now, the world's going to end, but I'll be dead by then. And I can just live my life here in the 50s and go to a sock hop or something.
Let's go to the soda jerk, man.
I totally would. I'd, go to Ralph's.
Hey, man, give me an egg cream.
Arnold's.
That's good. <on. laughs>
All right, next Blu-ray is a Blu-ray 3D. Priest 3D.
Bill.
No.
Priest. Oh, is this the...
new one now? This isn't me.
What is it? The Paul Bettany movie?
Yes.
Where they're fighting vampires. No, they're fighting zombies, right?
Not vampires.
I am not a zombie!
This movie looked like eye candy ridiculousness. Like, the movie's going to be completely stupid, but you get to see... cross shurikens fly into jumping in the air vampires in slow mo kind
how
of
does that even work?
What's the cross itself
is kind of lopsided.
if you threw it hard enough, it would go. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Or like a blade sticks out the bottom end that sticks a little further.
That is totally something like a teenager would come up with, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, ninja star to the head! Ow!
For the guy that directed Boondock Saints.
That guy's a genius.
I got this great idea. Let's shoot a cat.
Who do you work for, Dougie?
All right, next Blu-ray is Something Borrowed, a romantic comedy.
Starring, I'm beaten. It's not a game anymore, Dougie.
It's not. It really isn't. I don't know why he's not taking it seriously.
What's wrong with that?
Kate Hudson and Jennifer Goodwin. This is weird because Jennifer Goodwin was the geeky girl on Ed.
Right.
And now she's starring in her own films.
Yes. And she's married to Shirts from Sasquatch Gang.
No shit.
Yep. She's married to Shirts.
Oh, man. That's sort of awesome.
That is awesome.
I wonder if she eats his corn dogs.
That's my corn dog.
Yeah, they're my corn dog.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I love it.
Apparently they have nuggets and Cheetos.
It's Cheetos and nugget night. My mom says you can't come over anymore.
God, I love that movie.
Wait. He goes, what are you guys having tonight? Hot dogs and Cheetos.
Hot dogs and Cheetos.
Sure.
Eat now. You can either stay here if you want, or I can come by later. My mom says you can't eat any of our food anymore.
He's like, oh, man. Everyone in her house has their shirt off, too.
Yeah. What the hell
Spunky?
Is his dog's
this is
name?
My corn dog.
Spunky.
Spunky?
Yeah.
No, Spunky. This is my corn dog.
He's like, oh. I love him.
Oh, when they mix but up their own Sasquatch
night.
Poo.
Yeah. Oh, and he's like, I got to go home. And he's like, why?
But it's nugget night.
It's nugget night. Got to get home.
Can I come?
Yeah. My mom says she can't anymore.
Nugget night. Oh.
Remember they're watching that lizard that can run on water? The Jesus Christ lizard?
Yes.
And Zerk's like, big deal. That's stupid. I could do that too. No, you couldn't. Yeah, I could. Bet you $50. All right, you've got a deal. And so they go out on the water, and he jumps in, just sinks right in. And then the next thing he does, writes the check for $50. He goes, don't cash it for 5 days.
Oh, it's so stupid and yet hilarious.
My mom says you can't eat any of our food anymore.
All right, moving on. I'm glad we now learn that Jennifer Goodwin's married to Shirts. That's
that's awesome.
That is so awesome.
And she's cute, too.
Yeah, she is.
I got a poster, and I'm putting some Pop-Tarts on it.
I'm sure she would appreciate that.
Good job, buddy.
All right. And finally, lastly, we have the Blu-ray release of John Carpenter's The Ward.
Come on, guys.
That was out in theaters like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was. It kind of explains how good it is.
That's disgusting.
Apparently, this movie is pretty freaking awful. But I remember, I think it was the Ishnadi Vishnevsky.
Hey, Bill.
Igor Vishnevsky.
Still no idea.
He said that it's a terrible movie, but the shots are really well done, and so
that's
it's kind of worth
that's what
checking
I look
out.
For in a horrible movie. Good shots.
Yeah.
At least it's shot well.
It's a really well made horrible film.
Nice. I like old school John Carpenter. I don't need to watch his new movies.
What happened to him?
Looked like a ass again.
Ghosts of Mars.
Well, you know, it's like my grandfather used to say.
Son, you show me a good loser and I'll show you my a-hole.
Why would he ever say that
to a little kid?
I'll show you my butthole.
Guy's a psycho.
You're right, Gary.
It's like, Grandpa, I don't want to see your butthole.
And I love it.
All right.
Yes, yes, I believe he does.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Awesome.
You're welcome. Love it.
Thank you. Good night. Here, I'll
loves DVDs, buttholes, superpowers.
All right, everybody, that was episode 243 of Nowhere and Mulberry. Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like to go to nowhereandmulberry.com, you can find a link to our forum, which would be great if you join that. Or you can send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com or send us a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. Or do what a lot of people have done is join our Nowhere Mulberry fan club on Facebook. How cool is that? A lot of activity on there. Pretty cool. Follow us on Twitter and all that other stuff. And any kind of enthusiasm for the show, we appreciate any kind of feedback and all that kind of stuff. We love you. It's awesome. That's all I got. Bill, you got anything? That's pretty much it, huh?
Hey, Bill. Bill.
What?
Where'd you go?
I don't know.
Hey, Bill.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
He got lost in one of those.
Now we both have badges, Bill.
Okay, well, good.
Why do you guys have badges?
We don't need no stinking badges.
I like you a lot.
All right. All right, everybody. I promised Heather I would go to her work thing next Friday, so we could either not do a show or do it on a Saturday show.
I could do a Saturday.
A rare Saturday show?
Rare Saturday show.
I don't know. Yeah. I'll catch up with you guys during the week, see if you still feel that way. But everyone, thank you for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time, all right? All right, everybody. That's our show. Laters. Bye.
Bye.
I'm sorry. Bye-bye. My intentions are good.
Goes for stupid.
Now this is podcasting.
I know.
Yeah, Laugh Factory!
Hey!
Yeah! And I love it!
Bill. Hey, Bill.